We Talk Podcast presents... Don't treat me like a woman. Don't treat me like a man. Don't treat me like you know me.
Treat me for just who I am. What it is! What it do? Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adams. William Arbuthnot with the one, the only. He is a wrestling god! Mr. Mo. And the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
I feel a heel turn coming very soon.
So, I'm going to start this off, and I'm not going to kayfabe anybody. This is our second go-around on this, because too much damn stuff wants to break.
Isn't it more like our third? Technically, we tried to do something.
Yeah.
Last night, after we thought we had wrapped up, and... Tried to do an add-on, and it's been a hell of a show. By the way, I'm thinking more of a demigod than a wrestling god.
Okay,
I'd like to say somewhat humble, even though I'm pretty much perfect.
The artist formerly known as Mo.
Oh boy.
So let's start with everyone's favorite, the guy that really made us redo this podcast. One of the many reasons, Mr. Conor McGregor. At least this time, I'd say Conor McDavid.
That's true.
There we go. So, Mo, recap us on what happened to Mr. Conor today.
Okay, let's first off say I'm sorry you guys won't get to hear last night's stuff. It's completely irrelevant, but it was great stuff.
Man, that was the best podcast I think we've ever done.
Yeah. So it is a shame, but
I saw the Angels when I was talking. It was just wow.
We had a really good discussion about this. We came at it from a lot of different angles.
Yeah.
A lot of what we were talking about was the effect that the death that he had seen of the fighter he knew in Ireland, and whether or not how much of that was affecting him, or whether or not we should be right in being cynical that it's not about, or that, you know, that it is just a renegotiation ploy. And with what's happened today, it's become pretty obvious that this is a ploy for money and power between two parties, both of whom have their points between the UFC and Conor. Let's call him Conor McGruber, because I think that you did that last night too.
Yeah, whatever.
Many names of Conor.
Is it going to get worked out in time for UFC 200?
I think so.
I'd have to agree. I can see this being to the last minute, but I can see them working it all out because, let's face it, how much money has Conor brought into the company in the last six to eight months?
According to Errol Hawani, he's about $8 million worth to the company.
According to him, he brought in $400 million in his last three fights.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a WWE number, but I can see...
You think he's a worker? What?
just a little bit. I just kind of look at this whole situation and I go, I get why the UFC, these fighters feel they need to make more money. They have the right to want more money because Dana White's not putting his life on the line. Dana White sits there and this is the fight we're going to put on. Go have fun, guys. And he sits there and watches it while these guys are trying to tear each other's head off, trying to break limbs, trying to choke each other out. They should get paid like they are going, they are putting their life, it's basically they play Russian roulette with their lives.
Here's the problem, though. It's kind of the equivalent of the wrestling union. It's you need other guys to do it, and they won't because – so Conor's asking for, what, $10 million in this?
Yeah.
But then you're going to have other guy be like, hey, Conor may want that fight for $10 million. Dana, I'll do it for two. I don't care. That's the problem with this. He doesn't have anyone to back him up in this. Yeah. You can have Conor as big as you want, but it's like we were talking yesterday – Dana's not going to say any fighter is bigger than those three letters of UFC.
Yep.
And that's what it comes down to is Conor McGregor bigger than the three letters of UFC? And I don't think the Fertittas or Dana are going to budge on that.
No. I think it's going to be down the last minute, but I think we see.
Yeah, I just don't think he's getting $10 million, and I think he's still going to have to do his promotion.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less promotion, but he's going to have to do promotion.
That's where I see both sides. It's because, I mean, the fighters should be getting more. I mean, it should be, if they're getting about 15% of the gross revenue, as is said, then, and you look at it compared to other major league sports, it's completely out of whack. You know, like I say, maybe it's a lot more than the WWE guys are getting, but that's also completely out of whack. And there's absolutely no doubt. I believe that the fighters should have a union, just like I believe the wrestlers should have a union.
Yep.
They'll never protect themselves, and I also know it'll never happen.
This is what NBA and NHL had the biggest quarries about during their lockouts, is how much the players get for revenue. It was the biggest sticking point for the NBA players and for the NHL players, and we saw how long those got drawn out, and now you're seeing it with the UFC.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, those are also – anytime you talk about a contact sport, you're putting your life in there, you know, on the line. Anything can go wrong. And so the fighters should get made more. The guys at the bottom should get made more or get paid more. I don't think that the guys in UFC are, you know, at the bottom are getting paid nearly enough. You know, see some of those things. The guys are getting 8,000 and 8,000 bonus to win. It's
like, yeah, unless your name is CM Punk.
Yeah, exactly. And that's frightening. Like those numbers to me, I mean, I know now they're getting some sponsorship money from the Reebok. The guys at the end will get a little bit more off that, but I think the Reebok deal is a bunch of bullshit too.
Everything you talked about it yesterday, Mo, with the sponsorships.
Yeah, everything is slanted towards the UFC. I mean, they have all the leverage because, I mean, yeah, Bellator will pay, but Bellator won't pay the guy who's the 120th guy on their roster, who's the eighth ranked, you know, bantamweight or whatever. You know, he's not going to get anything. They're going to get guys who, yeah. I mean, if you're Rampage Jackson, you can go to the Bellator and they're going to pay you pretty well. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work that way for everybody. So as long as that's the case, the UFC has all the leverage. And I understand why if they break to Conor here, then they've shown weakness to all the rest of the fighters. Mm-hmm. And they got to toe the line here because they're a business and they want to make as much money as possible. And both sides are greedy. I mean, I tend to favor towards the fighter, but I'm not saying there's three sides to every story: yours, mine, and the truth. And nobody is right or wrong here. Everybody's mm-hmm. protecting their best interests.
Yes.
Will it get worked out? I don't know. I do know this: as when I saw that Facebook post today, and I'd like to get your guys' opinion on this.
Yeah.
There's obviously some games for, like I say, it's not just money, it's also power on how much of your own schedule you control. But I saw that, and that sounds to me like a guy who is scared to death he's going to lose. And I think Nate Diaz is in his head, and I think he's going to get the shit kicked out of him if he does fight him.
I don't know how much of a place of fear it was from, but it's definitely, I think you're absolutely right that Nate's in his head and mm-hmm. gout's starting to creep in. I think that I do wonder how much of this was he didn't want this fight. He begged for it, he begged for it, he begged for it, he got it, and now he's realized in camp, much like Punk, maybe he's bitten off more than he can chew.
I think, and you look at that fight, the main problem was Conor won that first round, but the problem with him, and I don't think you can train for this, is he just couldn't hit Nate hard enough. That was the problem. He's an overall better fighter than him. He outfought him in that fight. He just can't hit hard enough.
He outfought him having a full camp against a guy who didn't have a full camp, but who knew that he was going to gas him that weight and held back.
And Nate had a perfect game plan. He just let him do whatever he wanted until he gassed out, and then Nate took him out. Nate's game plan was so perfect.
He knew he could take his punches, so that's part of the reason why he got lit up like that.
And that's what I'm saying, too. Like, Nate can take the punches, and I don't know how you train to hit harder.
It's really hard, and especially – and here's the one thing that I think now kind of shows that maybe you're in a weight class for more of a specific reason, that you're simply – like, the cutting of the weight, I find – is a very, very dangerous thing.
Well, yeah, look at Data 5000.
Yeah, like, it just nuts.
He was an idiot.
Yeah, well, yeah. For sure.
What was it he did? What was it? He ate just tuna or something like that for
something like that. It was
like 2 weeks straight.
That is an extreme example.
Nothing else. Like that guy's a moron too. Like, there's a healthy way to do it.
Yeah.
I just kind of look at it and kind of go, I think this shows a prime example why, even though we might enjoy these catch weights and guys coming up and going down, sometimes it's not it's going to be a very lopsided fight, because if I fought Josh, I'm going to lose. Josh has height, reach, weight, everything on me. I'm screwed. I could be the best fighter in the world, but Josh has a size that would be a distinct advantage for him.
A good big man always beats a good little man. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
There is something to that. It's an old adage for a reason. Mm-hmm. Connor, he's probably 155 is probably the weight class he should be at.
Yeah.
I would agree, yeah.
And Nate could also fight at 155. But Nate's comfortable at 170. Nate could probably fight at 185, and that's where he'd be too small.
Mm-hmm.
But – yeah, I mean, it's you're right. I don't know that – I don't feel like he's going to win. And I don't know. It's something about those the way he put it, the way he talked about facing a bigger guy with a big, longer reach and all that stuff. I just – that to me looks like a guy who's – I don't know. He doesn't look – I wouldn't put money on Connor right now. And actually, I do believe the Vegas odds right away when it came out were for Connor as the favorite. So, I mean, that's if the fight's going to happen, I'd throw some money on Nate right now.
Yeah.
Now, I really like Connor. I'd say he was one of my favorite fighters, but I find that this whole game this past week just childish. The retirement tweet, it seems kind of reminds me of Stone Cold Steve Austin with the Brock stuff in a way. This taking your ball and going home. I think Austin had more of an idea what Austin did with his Brock stuff. But it feels a little bit like that Austin and Brock stuff a little bit to me. Similar vibes in it.
Austin was right. It's just he didn't behave professionally.
But
he
was right
in his point of view. Connor's not even necessarily right. I mean, basically what he's saying is, Nate, go out there and do all the stuff, and I won't do anything, and that way I'll have an advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, go out there and do all the promotion. He still doesn't want promotion not to happen.
But that's the draw with him too, right? That's his draw, is talking and doing the promotion.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, he knows that he's talked people into the building. And that's how he gets paid. And this time, that's why I think this is a good... If he's willing to give up doing what he has to do to make as much money off the fight as possible, that to me says that he's worried.
Yeah.
That's where I just... You know, that it doesn't fit for me. But again, if Nate did everything and he did nothing, I mean... Is that right then? Because, Aldo didn't do anything and I did everything. You know what? I don't think that, he's not acting. I actually, like I said, I really want the guys to get paid more. But mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, I kind of think the UFC, like they offered to fly him in on a private jet. They offered to, and they're not asking any more of him than they're asking of Nate.
No.
You know, it's equal. So... Yep. This is it's almost childish in a way.
Well, and doing the retirement statement too is it seemed like, oh, I'm not getting what I want, I'm retiring. And you
passive
know you're
aggressive.
You know what you're doing. I kind of find it similar of earlier. Social media is so silly. It's like when LeBron a few weeks ago unfollowed the Cavaliers and unfollowed all the major Cavalier reporters, and then they asked LeBron about it. He's like, why did you do that? And he's like, next question. I don't have to explain myself. It's like, well, you obviously know what you're doing. When you do an action like that, when you're unfollowing the Cavaliers, or you go on and say you're retiring, you're going to start a stir, and you know what you're doing, and you can't act like, oh, I didn't think it'd be that big of a deal. Obviously, you did.
That was also passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressive is the type of thing that if nothing bugs me more than somebody's passive-aggressive and that type of behavior. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you say what you're thinking, or, you know, be honest, or keep it to yourself. Like, but again... when you're a special athlete, you're used to being able to get away and be with that diva behavior.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is just another example of it, like that LeBron was.
Yeah, and it's the age of social media, too, where these athletes, these celebrities can act like prima donnas, act this drama out, and they can get away with it. But at the same time, like, I lost a lot of respect for Connor for this act. Like, he could have just said, like, I'm not happy with this, and Dana – and just release that statement at first, but he had to do the stupid retirement thing and throw everything into a frenzy.
I think he wanted. It feels like he may have had at its core some positive, or at least what he thought were good intentions with this, cause this stir, maybe create that, okay, we have to pay him, or we have to create something for him, and it just backfired. It totally backfired.
Do you think that the retirement thing was a threat to Danis, and if you don't pay me, I'll retire?
Yeah, I could see it as that, but I think it's playing chicken, and I think Connor was going to turn before Dana was.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole situation has been a mess, and when it first came out, I didn't want to do anything right away because I was like, "How's this all going to play out? Where's Dana stand? Where does Connor stand?"
We said yesterday too, is like he's probably going to come back. And what did he do the next day after we talked about it for 40 minutes?
I'm coming back, guys.
It was funny. Even I talked to JD from CJ, who's been on this story, and they kind of had the same thing. They had a whole package ready to go on the radio station, and bada boom, bada bing, Connor blindsided us all, even though we knew what was happening.
Well, again, I think if Connor McGregor, ooh, I almost did it too.
Connor David.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. If McGregor had said. Me and the UFC and I cannot come to an agreement on certain business or certain structures within our business relationship. Therefore, I'm dropping off UFC 200. I don't know when I'll be back. I think a lot of people would have went, okay, but I'm retired thanks to the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is actually, again, that's the passive aggressiveness. That's where it's like, if you had said that, it's like, okay, you know, then – It's the letting everybody feel, yeah, it's the subtle breath, the power play, and just the lack of respect for not just the UFC, but really the fans.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of what you were saying yesterday with Ronda in a way, Mo?
Yeah. Yeah, what was I saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to put light of it, and you didn't either, but, you know, the suicidal comments and some of the comments some of the excuses she made after losing to Holly Holm. And that she didn't have a full camp, and she did too much promotion, and she was focusing too much on movies, and it just seemed like she really looked for a lot of sympathy for herself after losing the fight, and just saying, I lost, like, she came out on SNL and said, I lost, it's my fault, but from there, it just kind of looked like reasons what happened.
Well, what we said was, you know, I mean, Ronda first, and it's, we'll probably get into more of this again, I mean, later on, but the things that make a person a success in life are often what makes it difficult for them, and a success in a profession sometimes is also what makes it difficult for them to function normally in the rest of life. Mm-hmm. Ronda, to me, seems like someone like that, though I guess, I mean, obviously people are working with her in the movies career and everything, but I look at her, I think, geez, like, Travis Brown, you're more of a man than I am. I mean, you would have been anyways, but I don't think I could handle that lady. You know what I mean?
I prefer what Ron. I like Ronda more than Connor. And I will say, going back to Connor's really thrown me off the scent of a fan of his. Yeah. And this whole debacle. Like, I get where he's coming from, and I get what he's trying to do. But I just, like you said, Mo, it's passive aggressive, and I think he really went about this the wrong way.
If it had been, hey, let's both of us promote less, and
yeah,
but it's all about him. Like, it's all about him. So, I'm kind of seeing Dana's handled this really well. Like, Dana White usually flies off the handle. He's been shown to be immature and unprofessional at times as the head of that company, but I think he's handled this just beautifully.
He made the one comment. There's been no cheap shots thrown. It's just, this is it, and then that's it. And they probably told him, you have to shut up about this because we can't give Connor leverage. That's probably the biggest thing they're thinking about. I guarantee you Dana is stewing, just waiting to throw a barrage at him. But he knows that if he does, then that affects their overall, their jockeying for position on this whole
situation.
Maybe he learned
from the GSP situation. Yeah. Maybe he finally learned, you know, you just can't go off the handle in these guys.
So where do they go from now with this? I think he's going to be on the card still. I think they're going to work something out before they have the thing in Vegas this week. I think they're going to work something out. I just do. Joel, you seem to think the same way.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards something will work out. And it'll be done and over with, and in a couple of years we'll look back and laugh at that time that this idiot decided to go, hey, I'm retiring, thanks for the money.
Mo? I think the story is so, I think it's so far from being settled as a story. I think there's going to be three or four more twists and turns. This is going to come across like some sort of intrigue novel. That by the time it does get settled, I don't know if they'll have time for UFC 200. Because if it was just like, okay, they got me, mm-hmm. But there's no way he's going to back down. So you're going to get another accusation, then you're going to get another twist and turn, and then Dana is going to fly off the handle, and then it's going to come out somebody was taking something or doing something. Like, you just never know. This is the expression, stranger than fiction. This doesn't feel like real life. This feels like a television show about MMA that you would make up with this crazy storyline.
Like a really bad storyline that no one's like, that's impossible, and that's just a childish storyline. Like a 5-year-old wrote that.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, do I think he's going to fight again? I mean, you said that yesterday. I mean, I thought he would fight again within a couple of years or a year or two, you know? And now I think it'll be faster. But UFC 200s? That I'm not so sure about now.
So and one of the things that could happen.
I think if you're UFC, you say you have him, you wait till he's begging to be on, and then you still say no, because nobody will ever pull this shit with you again, ever, anybody.
So Mo is the answer, GSP then.
I don't know. Again, I think the strongest thing that – I mean, yeah, they could bring back GSP, but if you want to bring back GSP, they're also going to have to kind of acquiesce to some of his points.
Yes.
Some of the things that he needs. I think right now the UFC, what they want to do and do is just put on a good show, a UFC 200, and not have to – and show that they can function without any of these guys, and that way they shift the power back to them. Going to go with the GSP now.
Is it as simple as waiting for John Jones to figure out if he wins that fight fast enough and just switching it to Nate on the spot after UFC 197 this week? Is it as simple as that?
I mean, how long is Cormier going to be out? Because that was the only fight I was really into.
Yeah, like, that's one thing I've heard, that they could still flip and do the Cormier fight at 200. It's still possible.
If that's the possibility, I mean, to me, when they were originally doing the promotion for 197, they had a sit-down interview with him and Joe Rogan. And Daniel Cormier says, John, I will die before I lose this to you. I will die before I lose this belt and lose this title to you. And John Jones looks at him and goes, all right then, be prepared to do just that. And I got chills, and I went, fuck, I can't wait to see this fight. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait. And I don't even care that I know that it was a mismatch the first time. Mm-hmm. That to me is a money promo. I think you can promote that one easily. The heat between those guys.
Oh yeah, everything with the conference call from before even.
Yeah,
exactly. There's just so much there. So yeah, I agree with you. I think it depends though what the turnaround is on John Jones' fight this week. Because if he goes like 5 rounds and he's beat up pretty badly, I don't know if he could do the turnaround to do a 3-month camp really quick like that.
If he goes 5 rounds and is beat up really, really badly, I will pay for your trip to WrestleMania out of my pocket.
Yeah, I don't think he will be either.
Come on, man. It's a fight.
I'm going to put you to that word, though.
Oh, you do it. Go ahead. The guy could get caught. That could happen. He could get caught, knocked out. Anything can happen. It's a contact sport. Anything can happen. Crazy stuff happens. I mean, GSP got caught by Sarah, and Sarah was nowhere near his level. Anything can happen. But 5 rounds... beat up against St. Preux without the full training camp? No. That's not possible.
So then, okay, so let's say John Jones wins. He's going to hold on. Maybe we'll face Cormier. Is there anyone that we could see with Nate?
Well, the name they've heard, they throw it out there already, is Dos Anjos, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one that's been out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And Nate wants to make the money, obviously, too.
And, hey, can we laugh at Shane Carwin asking for Brock Lesnar again? That was fun the first time.
Yeah, I wish you, last night we said lots of funny stuff about that.
Yeah.
I never got to know what it was.
More or less, there's no chance that Brock would do it. There's no chance that Vince would let it happen. And yeah, there's no chance ever. There's no chance in hell, you guess you could say.
Who is Shane Carwin in 2016?
A jabroni.
A jabron.
Yeah.
An accountant or something.
And then another thing we kind of talked about was the possibility of Ronda. And I've already listening and doing some research today. That's an impossibility. She can't fight at UFC 200. Her hope is the fight at the first MSG show. So there's no Ronda for sure at 200. So it's not even worth talking about.
I think it's 50-50 that Ronda will ever fight again.
Yeah, and that's something that you can consider. She has said that if she did, she would like to do that first MSG show, though, which is the next big show, you know? Maybe that's where they bring Conor back. Is it the MSG show?
We've talked, though, about her mental stability already. And now she seems a little, I don't know. I mean, she can be driven, obviously, but she seems a little flighty.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I say, she says that, but she also said that all she was thinking about was facing home and avenging that defeat right away.
Yeah.
And how many months ago already was that?
What was it? Was it December or November?
I think December, but
yeah. No, it was November because the Conor fight was in the December because right. I saw that in Houston. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. It's a really interesting world in the world of UFC. Is maybe that MSG show going to be bigger than 200 now?
It always had potential to me. Yeah, I think GSP is a perfect fit for there.
For the MSG show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's he's a perfect fit for that market and for that show. And we pretty much know Chris Weidman almost for sure is going to fight there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's anything they can do about it. But, yeah, that's
What? That's in like mid-November, the MSG show, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. And you know, if it doesn't happen, I'm sure they'll come back here and give us the card we deserve in Calgary.
Yeah, right. Maybe we'll get the Conor fight.
bastards.
Yeah. How long ago was that? The Dana said the old Calgary show.
2.5 years. Is it three?
Oh, cool.
3 years.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Dana. Thanks, Dana.
I find the tickets were too expensive even the first time. Just looking at the price.
They were
crazy.
UFC does that the first two times they come into any market, they're remarkably expensive. And that's one of the reasons why they keep running Las Vegas. It's there you can actually get away with charging those prices. You know? Mm-hmm. And the ticket prices are going to be unbelievable in New York those first few times also. But, you know, I mean, if they run Portland right now, the ticket prices will not be nearly what they once were.
But running the Garden is such a big deal, right? You think of all the Ali fights and everything that's been there. It's such a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I think we are it on the world of UFC. Let's talk to something just as fun, TNA. So Pop, it started a little bit last week. It looked good at the beginning of last week. They had announced that the rights in Canada will go to the Fight Network, and they'll be having brand new episodes of TNA on the Fight Network up here in Canada. So they looked like they were diversifying their international market. And then all of a sudden, the replay on Pop got moved away, so the West Coast viewers got all messed up, and it was kind of tucked away on Saturday. And then we found out they were getting evicted from the building at the end of this month, and that employees are going to work in the warehouse, and that Dixie owes a lot of money, and then come in the Harris brothers to buy it. So there's a lot to unwind here. Don't know what is going on. It seems like Dixie is the main problem of all of this, and she's just been stubborn and refuses to do anything other than her way.
Yeah, this whole TNA thing's a mess. I wonder if she sent an email to Pop and had said something
of Intruso?
Yeah.
Bro, we're going to bring it back and get the Harris brothers, bro.
I just the whole TNA situation is—it's just like watching a slow death. It's like watching a TV show that's like you were supposed to end 2 years ago, but somehow you're still going, and you think it's a good thing. I mean, TNA is not—I don't understand why WWE doesn't mention TNA.
You know what I think. You know what I think is a good analogy is that fighter is watching your, you know, your Dan Henderson when you know his chin is gone.
Yeah,
you know, that's what it is to me. It's like that painful. You don't want to see this again.
Yeah, I mean, you have Matt Hardy as your main champion.
No, Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre. Sorry. See, and that's how far behind on TNA I am. It's very hard because they have all these weird tapings and not everything's in order. It's all very just weird. And I mean, you have the Hardys as one of your main staples there.
Well, feud. They're feuding.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Just over the moon excited about that.
Because that worked so well before, man. Well, when he burnt down the house with his dog.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Remember? He burnt down... Jeff Hardy's house actually burnt down with his dog in it, and they put it in storyline saying Matt burnt down the house and killed the dog.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Oh. And then he set the pyro off on Jeff.
Yeah.
It was good times.
What's worse, this TNA or that storyline?
Oh, that one's pretty bad. But
TNA, though.
TNA at least has Rebby Sky. She's been... From what I've seen, she's been somewhat entertaining in it. She's no Maurice, but she's okay.
And you guys say that, Josh, you said you know, how stubborn Dixie is.
Yeah.
I think you got to kind of look at it from a perspective of how probably incredibly painful this is for her.
Of course.
Like you know, I mean, let's look at the history here. And this is a company that was already going to go out of business. And she, right place, right time, and she bought into it. And she had her family believe in her,
mm-hmm.
and they helped her to get by it. And she has spent, you know, over a decade with it in ownership now, and has worked countless hours and saw it reach a peak. And that peak was 1.5 million viewers. It's nothing to sneeze at.
They went head to head with Raw, man. I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah, that didn't do so well, but
no, I think that's what killed them. That's what that was the start.
That hurt them a lot.
Yeah.
But 1.5 million viewers is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, that's that's not that far behind what SmackDown has gotten at points. Like,
yeah,
it's just that it seemed like the reason fans don't like TNA or the reason they started to dislike them is because, I mean, you look at guys like Styles and Joe now, and it's like, man, if you ever put your resources behind these guys, they never were able to pull the trigger to go to the next level, and they never trusted the guys the fans wanted to see them trust.
Especially and Joe.
Especially Joe, one-time champion, you know. Unbelievable.
Tattoo, so, kidnapped in a van.
Yeah, that type of just awful, right? So, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that it's – but, I mean, you look at it, it's like – I could just imagine. I mean, I don't know how many, over the years, how many man hours she has spent, how many 15, 16, 18 hour days she's spent. I mean, she probably hasn't spent, I mean, not as many as Vince McMahon. I believe he works 23 and a half hours a day, yeah. and a half hour he spends working out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he sleeps.
Nope.
But we know he doesn't sneeze.
No, I was going to say.
But, I mean, she's put in the time. So I think you have to look at how painful this has got to be. How embarrassing to her family. How can she ever look her parents in the eye again? You know what I mean?
It's like, I mean, the thing is too, Mo, how many times, like, I don't know how many times you guys have done this when we talk podcasts. Me and Joel must have done at least two or three podcasts. We're like, oh, TNA's out of business. Let's see who WWE can pick the bones off of. Oh, and then absolutely. They still somehow crawl out the grave and be like, no, we're not dead yet.
Cockroaches.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but there's not much talent there anymore. Like we would say, like Samoa Joe's and AJ's and Austin Aries and Bobby Roode's, and they're all there now. The only ones that are really left is like, well, EC3 would be nice, or Michael Bennett would be nice, or the Hardys would be nostalgic. But that's really it.
Yeah, there's not an awful lot.
Bobby Lashley's not coming back through that door.
The Wolves, maybe. Their Wolves are still pretty good.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe the Wolves, but like Bobby Lashley's not coming back in the company. They have him. His name's Apollo Crews. No.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I just think when I look at Dixie, I'm like, I just think this is, I mean, this has got to be like a child in many ways. You know, and she's got to have a huge emotional attachment. So when we say she's stubborn or she's being stupid, it's not easy to be pragmatic, I think, when you're emotionally that tied into something. And that's unfortunate. Now, that said, she's not making the right decisions. She hasn't made the right decisions. There's no reason. She doesn't have any leverage.
No.
There's no leverage there. And tell you the truth, the only reason I look at this company, what's the name of this company? That Archbalt or something like that?
Yeah.
They're
like a production company.
They have 32 Twitter followers.
Yeah.
They have 32 Twitter followers.
I didn't know that.
They are not a huge company. There's not a lot of money there.
Why can't you just sell the tape library to the WWE and just be over it? You know?
Because the attraction of those overseas contracts they have and the fact they still have national TV. But it's a really strange situation where I look at the Harris guy, and you know, they're not the head of this company, they just work there. But
you have guys with swastikas though, it's not great.
No, it's not great. Jeff Jarrett, have you seen what he's up to lately? The pyramid scheme.
We talked about that last week. It was interesting.
The gold thing, like, to me, this looks like a power play for him to get back in because he's close with these guys. I don't know if he would not maybe as a financial stake, but as the guy in charge of running the company.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he hasn't, to be honest, because he still has guys like Shelton Benjamin with that Global Force.
Yeah, and that could certainly bring a little bit of talent in. That Global Force is dead in the water.
Yeah, and Carl Anderson was there and Gallows were there. They had them under contract, and then they were gone.
Yeah, exactly. It never got off the ground, and deservedly so.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really strange situation. But I look at the history of this company, and I don't say I feel sorry for Dixie because I don't, but I do understand the difficulty of what she's going through,
totally.
And that it's not easy.
No, it's the whole situation with TNA, and especially it's always that it's dying, and you can never really get any closure from it because you think, oh, well, TNA's dead, or it looks like it's dead, and it comes back, and it's always this back and forth of you never really got a chance to kind of go, this is it, this is the end. And I don't think Dixie will ever be able to fully let go. I think she'll always think, well, what if I did this, and what if I did this? It's very hard, and TNA is going to die a very slow and painful death.
There's an expression though, Joel. The pride comes before the fall.
Yeah.
And this is and holding on to it and not being able to let go, that is the pride.
Yeah.
And that I think that's largely what we're seeing here. I think even if they sell this company, it's not going to succeed. They're not going to be able to turn it around. It's still going to go out of business. And the other and a big reason why is because Dixie's like, oh, I don't understand why people hate us, or why do they cheer against us, or why do they want us to shut down? Why do you want these people to lose their jobs? Why do you want wrestlers to have less places to work? Why do you? And it's like, the thing is, we wanted you guys to provide us an alternative.
Oh yeah, we did.
Badly. We needed an alternative, and you never did.
You did in 07. 07 was close.
Closest.
Closest. The closest.
Yeah. That was the closest.
When you got TNA chance in WWE.
Yep, that's the closest. They came the closest, but they never really – but that never got to a national level to the point where people saw them as an alternative. Mm-hmm. So that was only for people searching them out. You never gave us but we needed an alternative, and you never gave it to us. You never differentiated yourself enough. You followed too much WWE style and trends. You never put your resources behind the guys that we wanted to see. You put the resources behind. I mean, it's too many times. I mean, Sting did how many jobs in his entire time there? And that should be the role of that guy. You know.
Well, I think you bring some really good points, Mo. It's like they had all these keys too. You know, you had guys like Joe Daniels, Frankie Kazarian. You had Kurt frickin' Angle there. You had the X Division. You had all these exciting things.
You just went
WCW with it. And WWE Lite.
You set the key there. You had the X Division. The X Division main events, one pay-per-view. Three-way with Daniels, Joe, and Styles. And
Unbreakable
5-star
05,
match.
Yeah.
And they main evented how many pay-per-views afterwards?
Well, AJ did, but Joe and Daniels sure.
As the X Division
champion, they were done.
Zero.
Yeah,
zero.
there.
They had that weird, stupid cage thing that Hernandez could never get over. Remember that thing?
Of course, that was on the same night they debuted against Raw.
Yeah, that was the night Jeff Hardy was supposed to come out. Hernandez is like hanging. No, Homicide is like hanging there.
Well, that's the problem, is that you had somebody do that spot because they had that cage on pay-per-view earlier, and somebody did it. And then they asked Homicide to do it. Homicide may have been a cruiserweight or X-Division size, but he wasn't the most athletic of those guys.
No.
So to get him to do that, just, you know. But again, coming back to it, it's like we needed an alternative. We don't need – that role's filled now. You know, that's another thing.
ROH, why you can't, New Japan.
Exactly. We're in a digital
– Lucha Underground. Evolve.
When I was – I was saying this last night. We did kind of a simulcast for We Talk Comics and We Talk Wrestling, because we had on Michael Kingston. He does a comic book called Headlocked.
Okay.
Jerry Lawler does like the covers and that type of thing. Nice. Samoa Joe wrote a story for it, Hurricane Helms, RVD, and that type of thing. And I was mentioning this to him. Like 1998, I wanted to see a bunch of ECW and couldn't. I had WWE on my television, WWF at the time. I had WCW, and I wanted to see ECW. I could maybe find a tape here or there.
Yeah.
Maybe if I was at a bar, they'd have a satellite, and I'd be able to pick it up. But the truth was, I was starved for it. I couldn't find it. That is not this day and age. I wanted an alternative to those two companies. I couldn't find the alternative. Today, I can find that alternative to WWE, and it doesn't have to be TNA. If I want to watch Revolution Pro in England, I can watch it. If I want to watch CMLL, I can watch it. If I want to watch PWG, I can watch it. If I want to watch Jersey All Pro, I can watch it. If I want to watch something in any country.
Chikara.
If I want to watch, it's a digital age that we don't need one company anymore to provide the alternative to the WWE. The fact that we're in a digital age provides the alternative already. So we don't need you, TNA. And that's why you'll succeed now.
Who would you say right now is the number one competitor to WWE? Japan?
Nobody. UFC?
Yeah, fair enough. I guess Japan is the closest as far as putting on solid matches with solid wrestlers.
Invasion Attack was friggin' incredible.
Oh, yeah. So, I enjoyed that show from top to bottom. The finish, the throwing of the title at the end.
Awesome.
Exactly what you needed. Now, because I'm a little newer to New Japan, I just had a quick question. What is Okada a tweener? Because it just kind of seemed like the crowd reaction, they weren't solidly behind him. Is he kind of, what's kind of up with that? Because that was a little point where I was a little one, just a little clarity on.
You wouldn't say that there is the traditional face heel dynamics in Japan that there is in North America. So to begin with, you know, he's not, calling him a tweener wouldn't be right. Is Daniel Cormier a tweener, or is he just Daniel Cormier?
Yeah,
he's just Daniel Cormier.
And that's kind of it with Okada. I think that's the way to look at it.
Okay. Yeah. Just because it kind of seemed like there are certain moments where he just kind of seemed very heelish. There are other moments he seemed like, oh, this guy's just the baby face. And it's just kind of going back and forth. And it's kind of like, what are you? But that makes sense. That was the one thing with the New Japan.
The thing is, The Japanese, and this is one thing that New Japan's been doing lately. It started with the Bullet Club, and now it's calling together with this Los Incognobrables, or however the hell you would pronounce it.
I don't know.
But this group with Naito, this heel group, traditionally you don't get the outside, even if you're a heel, you don't get outside interference. It's incredibly rare to have outside interference in matches. So, I mean, Okada is part of the Chaos group, which is technically like a heel stable, but not a heel stable. Like, and they don't really help each other, but they're kind of like a guy. And it's just a stable. But nobody was there in his group to help it out, because that's just he's a traditional Japanese wrestler, and the traditional Japanese wrestler doesn't use outside help or outside interference for the most part.
Well, I was listening to like the podcast with Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows and Jericho, and they were talking about the stuff that they would do with the Bullet Club, where they would pull the ref out of the ring and the whole crowd would go insane and just furious, because it's not something that they've seen.
And it was actually something people were really, really worried about, was if they start doing this too much, will this ruin the kind of the distinction between
Japanese wrestling and American wrestling? Will it become too Americanized? So you can only really have one group doing it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. And now they have a couple groups doing it because they still have the Bullet Club, you know.
Yeah.
The elite.
Yeah, the kind of the subdivision of the Bullet Club. So.
Yeah. All right, Joel, do you want to wrap up the TNA stuff and we can move on?
The TNA stuff. They had a chance to build a company with, as far as I'm concerned, like myself and Josh have awards at the end of the year for guys we think deserve it, and one of our awards is the MVP. And I think AJ Styles has it for me right now, just everything he's done over the last couple months between Wrestle Kingdom and WWE. You had AJ Styles in your company, and you put him in a suit. You had him involved in this weird cheating storyline.
Becky Lynch. Or not Becky Lynch. What was it? Claire Lynch?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
All this weird stuff.
Why did you remind me, Joel? That was their Katie Vick.
You had all this stuff, and you couldn't build... you had... Like, Styles got a big pop, and he's still getting a solid reaction. And we were all kind of nervous, like, how are they going to book Styles? And they book Styles fine. They don't give him a lot of mic time because he's not that great on the mic. But his in-ring work sells it out perfectly. So
when WWE buys them, is the DVD going to be called The Fall and Fall of TNA?
It's just going to be like a meteor crashing into the ground. I think Meltzer was right when he was on the Law podcast. I think they need to rebrand it. Because they are going to...
The TNA name has always killed them because all you think about with TNA is tits and ass.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about that probably anyways, no matter
what. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I think you need to rebrand it completely. You maybe have it go away. Because there were talks that with WCW, with Bischoff, that he was originally going to buy it, rebrand it, and then start small and build his way out again. It never happened. I think this is probably what's going to happen with TNA. I just don't think it's going to work.
How much do you think that the library's worth? Because what matches are really there? The Joe and Kurt matches and the AJ stuff.
It's only worth See, this is the thing. It's. I remember when I was working in retail and used to work in a comic book shop. And you'd have a book that come out and it was hot and people were buying it. And you're like, well, what do we put on it? Every week it's like, okay, we have another copy. We sold it. At twice the cover price, then you sold it at five times the cover price. It's like, well, what is it worth? You have no way of knowing what it's worth. And the answer is always, what is it worth? What somebody will pay. Mm-hmm. And there's only one person that will pay to the TNA. There's only one person who's valuable to. So that's it. They have no leverage on this. It's probably not going to go for a lot because to everybody else, it's worthless. So why would WWE pay a
shit? Just for the AJ footage. I can't AJ and Samoa Joe footage. That's the only reason.
Just to give more stuff on the network.
Yeah.
Just for the same reason they have Mid-South Wrestling and you know. Like, that's why.
Yeah. Like I can only really think of two matches all time that really stand out to me that were good. And that was the Triple Threat match.
There's
and
more that, than that.
And then but the ones that really stand out though, you know, like WWE you have like all those standout moments. In TNA, the moments that really stand out as far as matches for me is that Unbreakable 3-Way and then Joe and Kurt, the Joe and Kurt series.
So not the Jeff Hardy and Sting match?
No. Oh. And not the Electrified Cage.
I would have a lot more in that. There was a LAX versus Daniels and Styles Ultimate X match that was like remarkable.
What
and
about the blindfold match?
That was awful.
Fell off Chris Harris.
But the Chris Harris James Storm match that was on about 3 weeks later on Impact
was really good,
unbelievable.
Rhino and Christian had a few good matches too, actually.
Rhino and Christian, they had the 8 Mile Street
Kazarian
fight.
Kazarian and Christian in a ladder match was very good.
Yeah. There's
07. That's what we're saying, Mo. 05 to 07. They were maybe a better product than WWE.
Well, you know, when Scott D'Amore was there.
Yep.
When Scott D'Amore was booking, right?
Before Mr. Bro got there.
And again, the last time they had a chance, I think it was 11. 11. It was after Hulk Hogan and Bischoff even.
Immortal Dude.
I believe. The last time I think that they had a shot before the digital age had really taken. It's only in the last couple of years that I can say that this to the point where I can find everything I want to find legally and probably free on the internet, you know, or if I do it for a reasonable price. So it's only this is fairly recent, but now we don't need the competition. But when the last time they had that chance was when they were negotiating. They were negotiating with JR and around the same time with Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
And they weren't able to pull the trigger at the time. I think both of those guys could have turned that company around. And
especially what Heyman wanted to do, too. He wanted to bring in a lot of guys from Japan. He wanted to get rid of all the old guys except for Kevin Nash and build a storyline up where Kevin Nash gets beat.
His exact quote was, I'm going to take the old guys, I'm going to cut their fucking legs off.
He wanted Brian, didn't he? He was going to try to sign Brian.
He was going to make Brian the centerpiece of his company.
Yeah.
You know?
And Nigel.
And Nigel, well, yeah, and... of course, concussions would have ended both guys' careers still. Yeah. But the point is, though, is that was the last time. Like that, they would have – when Hulk Hogan came in and they asked him, what do you think the rating's going to be? And he said, triple, brother. Well, you know, and it wasn't. Like,
no.
It was about 15% higher. And then he goes, well, it'll be a slow build. But he said immediately – I don't know that it would have gotten triple, but I think two and a half times what they were doing. Like, I think they could have gotten up to, you know, I think they could have gotten past SmackDown as far as viewership under Paul Heyman.
For sure.
I think because he has that goodwill, and so they missed that boat. And then where would we be now? If he had taken it over, it would be a whole different world. ROH might not exist, you know, because they wouldn't have had the need.
Well, they maybe don't get Jay Lethal because I don't think Paul Heyman lets Jay Lethal out of his claws.
No, exactly. This would be it'd be more fun that way. We'd probably have two real companies. But that was where Dixie was like, I don't want to give all the power to this guy. He wanted points. He wanted to be able to put in the company. He wanted to be able to put the company available publicly. But he wanted to do a lot of stuff that probably would have been for the best. But she would have. The pride comes for the fall. She's always had a lot of pride. And sorry, I'm going on too long.
No. Love it.
But the thing is that this, I think this could have worked with him. I think it could have worked with JR. I think it would have been different, but I'm not upset to see them go because right now I have Lucha Underground. I have all this stuff and I'm good. I'm good already.
I agree. That's the best way to go out. So, as we continue on to more sad news, last night, as we record this on a Thursday, Joni Lauer sadly passed away in her house in California. She was found dead at 46. It's a pretty tragic death, and I'm not going to front. We talked about this, and we had a pod, but we really wanted to redo it now that we have more facts and more information and all that kind of stuff. Boys, this is a woman that was just a pioneer in the business. She was the first woman and only women Intercontinental Champion. She was the first woman to ever enter the Royal Rumble. She just was she blazed the way for so many women. And you can see that from Bayley, Charlotte, Sasha reaching out on Twitter today and having heartfelt words about how much she means to her. She was just that word, pioneer for the women's division.
Joel, do you want to go or do you? I'll probably be a little controversial here.
Sure.
One of the things that bothers me always is as soon as somebody either they leave a job or they pass away, they are elevated to sainthood. And the full story isn't told. I mean, you saw this with the Ultimate Warrior. You know,
you see this
all the time. A person is elevated to a status that is not their true story. And to me, you're not even doing them justice when you're only telling part of their story and just saying, oh, it's tragic, but she was such a trailblazer. She was a shitty worker. She couldn't work at all.
Yeah.
She was awful, okay? She was booked because she was dating the guy in power. Hunter already was on the booking committee by late 1997 and influencing storylines. So all this stuff needs to come into it. And that's not to say that she didn't have an important role in DX and that she didn't have a fan base and some success. But I think things need to be kept in perspective here because it's really easy, like I say, to not tell the person's real story. And I think when you, as a human being, when you show all the sides, why they succeeded, why they failed, their full story, their luck, their bad luck, everything. That's when you paint the full picture. To me, that's doing the true honor.
For sure. I mean, it was something we said last night.
I think we're getting too much of this right now because it's too fresh. So there's too many people saying, oh, she's a trailblazer and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
She's not the first. She was the first woman who was jacked up on that many steroids who got a push in the WWE. She wasn't the first woman.
Oh, that's Miss Elizabeth, man. That's Miss Elizabeth. Well, not wrestler. Sherry. Sherry's the – if to me, obviously, China is a pioneer because of being in the Royal Rumble and Intercontinental. But if you want to look as one of the first like big-time overall wrestlers from the 80s on to now, obviously you have Mae and Moolah and all those. But I look at Sherry. I don't think people talk enough about Sherry.
Absolutely not. She doesn't get her due. She absolutely doesn't get her due. And so that's kind of the thing is, I mean, when people are going, oh, she was a trailblazer, and, well, that's what you would say right now. Mm-hmm. When you really look at it, it's like, okay, she had reasons that she got a push, and she had some good luck, and she also worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
And but to just sit there, people are just going to say, she was, I think she probably, let's put it this way, I think she was a kind person with mean habits.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, those demons were the worst, you know, they got the best of her. And that, and any time a person passes away at that age,
mm-hmm.
it is a tragedy, you know. But to just sit there and go, okay, let's ignore every flaw in her game, both as a person and as a performer now, because she's passed away, to me, I just don't think that's even fair.
No, I totally agree with you on that. I you know, the one thing that shocked me is we talked about this a little bit last night, but I'm actually shocked from today how much she was in the mainstream to people. People that I didn't think would have any idea was text me or talk to me today, just said, oh, China passed away. It was a pretty big deal. Like, I didn't know that Joni Lauer had this big of a deal. And you, I think I realized more than ever today how influential the Attitude Era was. Because I talked to quite a few people that were shocked and was like, China passed away.
I heard my little old secretary that works at my building, she knew that China passed away. I was like, what? You know, I was floored.
Yeah, so
you know what? But and this is something, you know what? Say what you will. When she goes on the Surreal Life and Celebrity Rehab and she does these things, she actually that's a whole different audience than the ones that watch WWE. So, I mean, she actually, in that way, even though those aren't mainstream shows, you cross over into kind of a mainstream or another portion of pop culture. So it's not just the Attitude Era. It's that she became famous enough for the Attitude Era to get on these other shows that are also – like, I'm willing to bet that's where some of these people know her from.
Yeah. I've actually heard everyone say that she's like, oh, the wrestler.
Oh, no, everybody knows she's a wrestler. She doesn't, she doesn't look like a figure skater.
Yes, this is true. I did have a few people say, oh, backdoor to China and that stuff to me too. So there's that as well. There's her adult film lovers as well. Silence.
Well. I was just trying to think. Lovers? That seems a little strong. More like those people that were drunk at a party and somebody sat them down and said,
let's watch the China porn!
Yes. Oh, I got something you gotta see.
Joel, go ahead.
China, like, I remember watching China as a little kid. Like, seeing the Attitude Era and this big woman that threw Vince over the top rope and Vince almost broke his neck because Austin came out and distracted him. And seeing her feud with Jericho and her whole thing with Mamacita and Eddie, there are little things like that. And those are more of what pops into my head when you talk about her right now is those moments. The other side that pops up is her demons. Obviously, this is an accidental overdose. It seems to be leaning that way. There was no suicide note. Neighbors had said that they'd seen that she was very groggy and she's.
Well, I actually have something on that, Joel, that I've considered. So she had trouble sleeping recently, and she had all these problems. And doing some research, a lot of those signs lead to something that Jerry Jones doesn't believe in.
Yeah,
I think she had CTE because she was taking pills to help her sleep and she was having nightmares and all this kind of stuff. I think trying to suffer from CTE.
We mentioned that last night, though. There was no question that she had multiple concussions. There's almost no doubt about it. And yeah. I don't think she was a person with the highest IQ to begin with. Like, I don't think
fair. Fair. Although she was a teacher in Japan, but she taught English.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's stick to facts.
I'm just saying what she did.
The biggest thing with this is
he taught English, yeah, to the people in Japan. Do we know if any one of them actually speaks English now?
I don't know. Well, there was actually a pretty cool Vice piece that was done, I don't know, a year ago or so, and she looked really decent in that. I don't want to say good, but she looked happy.
Yeah.
She looked like she was redeeming herself and she was in a good place.
Yeah, I'm just saying she wasn't overly smart. I really don't believe she had a very high IQ. She wasn't exceptionally educated, and I don't think she was the brightest person. You put in drug use into that, and you put in concussions into that, and your brain doesn't function at the level it should.
She was married to someone before Hunter, and Hunter got her out of the relationship and brought her into the company, if I'm right.
I think you're right, if I remember correctly. But that may have been in her book, so you can't tell if any of it was true.
And see, that's the one thing with someone that has a drug problem, whether it was still there or she got herself clean, alcohol, and the concussions, like you said, Mo, that brain is just, it's not good. And
you know, probably a mental, some mental health issues and chemical imbalance.
For sure.
Even if she had never wrestled and taken alcohol, she might have had issues for that reason. I mean, it's difficult to say, but I mean, to me, that she screamed of somebody with those type of issues.
Do we know if Chris Nowitzki's going to get to see the brain?
No, haven't heard anything on that. Okay. I hope a lot of these guys from the Attitude Era and even the present era donate their brains.
Well, I know Foley and Nash are.
Yeah, I'd love to see what Foley's brain looks like.
Oh, God. I will say this. Both of you last night were very convinced that she would get a piece at the beginning of the show. And I'll admit, I wasn't into it. But after seeing the reaction just from the public today, I think for sure she will get a star piece now.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if she even got like a 30-second little video. Just in everything that's happened. Might be pushing my luck, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a
I think the outreach even surprised them. I think begrudgingly they're showing stuff because you notice like YouTube videos just went up 3 hours ago of her. I think they're just kind of like, shit, she's bigger than we realize she is. I think even they're realizing that.
Yeah. And you can tell by Hunter's little Twitter that he had sent out that had PR written all over it.
Shane's was a very nice one. I thought Shane's was the most sincere out of any of the McMahons for the tweets.
Yeah.
Well, they had an interview with Hunter with the Mirror UK, and he even said, you know, the Hall of Fame. It's not my call, but I think it's probably, you know, pretty likely at some point when the time is right. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they've obviously softened in a lot of ways. Unfortunately, the truth is to put somebody in. It's like, is she a Hall of Famer? Is she going to go in or isn't she? Just because they die doesn't mean they should go in. Like that's, again, it's like it's too little too late. She should have been in, and she should have been in.
Well, it seems like we don't have to deal with Randy Savage, so let's put Randy in. We don't have to deal with China, so we can put her in now. We don't have to deal with the actual physical person, so we can put them in.
That's bullshit again. You know, she should have gone in already.
Yeah.
And I'm somebody like who was saying, the porn stuff, that stuff doesn't offend me. And, you know, I don't believe in slut shaming. I don't believe in judgment and all that type of stuff. Like, that's me, whatever. I don't care. And you kept on saying publicly traded company. And I keep on thinking to myself, if Kim Kardashian said if she wants to do something at WrestleMania next year, and 2 years later, they said they want to put her in the Hall of Fame, and she said yes, they would do it in a heartbeat. So
that's actually a really good point. I can't even disagree with you, Mo, because you know what? And then you know, you pointed out too. You've never pointed it out, but I just saw yesterday too. Snoop's in the Hall of Fame, and he has like 3 or 4 porns of his own.
He's directed porn films and stuff. And yeah, exactly. He's in the Hall of Fame. Nobody cares. Chastity in WCW. She was in. You know, there she played.
Well, and Donald Trump's in too. So
Donald Trump.
I think that says all about the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, Chastity was in WCW. She was in a porno called Live Bait or something like that. She played Raven's sister there, and she was in ECW before. I think it was called Live Bait. I'm not really sure. I've never been able to find it, though I have looked. But the thing is, she was there. They were a publicly traded company at the time. They would mention that she was on that porno on TV once it got out. And you know what? Nobody cared. And they marketed to children as well. So I just look at if China is the gateway into kids seeing porn.
Oh, God, have mercy on those
like
kids.
That can't, in this day and age, I just think you need to use a little common sense.
She played a great She-Hulk, though. I'll give her that. Great She-Hulk.
She was perfectly cast as She-Hulk. I remember in like year 2000, a friend of mine was convinced that they should make a Wonder Woman movie when she should have been Wonder Woman.
I think she did like a variety cover, or she was out to like a Kids' Choice Awards wearing like Wonder Woman gear.
Yeah, I said, she looks the part, but she can't act.
Yeah, no, I'll take Gal Gadot over her any day.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I just back to it. You know what? When I think of her, I don't think of the porn, and I don't even think of the issues. I really just think of her with Eddie because I loved Eddie so much. I think of Eddie all the time. Yeah.
Well, there's that picture I sent you guys. You just see the Eddie stuff, and it makes you smile.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think of her with DX even. Like I barely like her backstage getting flowers from Eddie. Mm-hmm. For some reason, that's the when you say China died, that was the first image that popped in my mind. That's the one that keeps repeating, and that's cool to me. That's just how I'll remember her. She was a perfect foil to Eddie, and Eddie was the one of the greatest of all time.
You know, what I found really interesting is Jericho was very honest in his tweet because he's been very vocal in the past years of saying I wasn't a fan of China, I didn't like doing this, I didn't like that. And he was very honest in the tweet in his tweet when she passed. He just said like we never saw eye to eye, but you know it's a very sad day in RIP. I like that he was honest. He didn't, you know, you kind of see it with exactly. Prince today even just like oh I love Prince, I love Purple Rain and this. He wasn't fake about it. He like you said Mo, whenever someone passes away or anything like that, everything gets hyped up and enlightened and everything's so great. And I like that Jericho stayed in his roots and stayed honest about how he was in that relationship.
She was a pain in the ass to people backstage.
Yep.
She refused to do jobs. She was really stiff and hurt the people she worked with, especially the boys.
Well, did you see the Lita match they put on YouTube?
Yeah. Oh, you know.
She almost broke Lita's neck there, like in the powerbomb she gave her. She was, like you said, a very unsafe worker.
She was a very unsafe worker. So, I mean, again, let's not just, okay, she face man? Was she intercontinental champion? Was she in the Royal Rumble? Yeah. Did she beat guys? Yeah. Was all that a mistake though, or was that the right thing to do? You know, and that's a discussion probably for another day. But you can't just outright say, well, this is all perfect, because it's just not. It's not the full story. And you gotta when you're doing something like this, and you're putting something out there for the public to hear, you got to tell the full story, and too many people are afraid to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to agree. It's interesting, like, the good thing about the network is you get to go back and watch this stuff, and YouTube as well, and I've been watching quite a few of her stuff, and there's just matches I don't remember. Like, she had a mixed tag where she faced Trish, and she had a one-a match with Lita, and these are things I just never realized that she did, because I just... You don't think of her when she was the women's champion and having these matches.
You think of the kind of, I don't want to say, it almost like sideshow kind of where it was kind of, oh, she's wrestling a man or she.
Mo, like you were saying that yesterday, you know, like I think one of the things we remember the most out of her, like some of these matches with Lita and Trish that she did, I don't even remember, but I remember some of the moveset moves. And, like, the low blow, like you were saying yesterday, Mo, that's something I remember from her as far as a moveset. When I was watching this match against Ivory from WrestleMania, I didn't remember she had, like, a giant power bomb that was very unsafe for a finisher.
No.
I remember the low blow, and maybe that's part of...
I remember her and the cat for some reason. I don't remember her matches. Like, I remember her shooting that gun at the entrance.
Yeah, I
like,
remember that because of No Mercy, though, of the video game.
Great game.
Yeah, one of the best wrestling games of all time, if not the best.
It's in my top three.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. So she's done a lot of great stuff. There's no doubt. And she definitely helped push forward women. I think I would, and Mo would agree, that Trish, Lita, Sherry stand out more to us personally.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, China did a lot. And it is sad. And it's unfortunate that we didn't get the story. You know, we didn't get the Jake or the Scott Hall redemption of her being at the Hall of Fame and said, I beat this thing and I'm back.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That feel-good moment that you really like with the Warrior when he came back, you know, mm-hmm. and then that type of thing. It is a feel-good moment, mm-hmm. you know. And we didn't get that with her. Like I say, I mean, I don't want to sit there, there are positives to what she did, and there mm-hmm. are fond memories. And there are facts that shouldn't be, and that's just her career in the WWE, and that shouldn't all just be, like I say, I just hate that revisionist history that they
for did. Sure. I didn't even know she fought in New Japan.
You know, I never saw her there. She came in and beat men there.
Yeah, and I saw she took some pretty stiff shots in New Japan.
Well, it's Japan.
Yeah. They're just not going to mess around. And, I mean, she had that weird TNA run as well against Karen Jarrett.
Oh, that was bad. But then she did those porns and she took some stiff shots there too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, from Hunter and Stephanie.
You know what I'm saying? Too soon? You know
what I'm saying? I think so, maybe. Yeah, who knows?
Where's the escape valve? Where's the lever?
So, unfortunately, another wrestling legend has passed. The rule of three definitely hit. Blackjack, Balls, and now Joni Lauer.
Yeah.
And Joni, I guess, is part of the Celebrity Three with her and Prince. So who's next in the celebrity reign? Who knows?
Can I say that if they do videos for her on the WWE Network and some sort of special and stuff like that, I think that'd be great. I would love that. But somehow if they do more for her than they did for Roddy Piper, who they didn't do shit for,
yeah,
that would offend the hell out of me.
The Roddy thing they dropped the ball on big time.
I'm really pissed about that still.
I found out yesterday, so just a side story that includes China. Did you know that Vince didn't go to his funeral?
What?
Yeah, Vince didn't go to his funeral. Hunter went because he had to do some shoots or do something for NXT. So he didn't go there. Hunter went there, and China went there and apparently tried to approach Triple H there as well. That's
what she tried to approach him, and the bodyguards or something got in the way, I mm-hmm. believe.
Yeah. So, but then there was another private one in Portland, and Vince went to that one. But the main funeral, Vince didn't attend that. He had to go to do something for NXT, which I found really weird. That's one of your biggest draws of all time, and you didn't go to it. So I wonder who will go to the China. Do you think Vince or Hunter or Steph will go to the China funeral?
Hunter and Steph will be there for sure. Yeah. Shane will be there. Vince? I don't know.
It's good PR for, and I think that's that the biggest thing from Stephanie being the first one to tweet.
That was very calculated, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's all PR. It's all to make yourselves look like sunshine and rainbows.
I felt like Shane was the most sincere. Even like people like The Rock, I felt was very formulaic and very PR-ish.
Yeah. You know, you got to keep in mind, at least some of these guys, I think The Rock is one of them. I'd say maybe 10% of the tweets that's on his account are from him.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought Kurt has some really good ones too. Kurt's the one that put that Eddie and her picture up.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. We definitely know Kurt Angle's in charge of his Twitter. Yeah. Unless when he gets hacked.
Yeah.
So let's move on to... Oh, go ahead, Joel.
Well, I want to do this. So moving on... In breaking news today, Finn Balor dropped the NXT title in a house show to Samoa Joe.
Yeah, he did.
So,
once again, ruining all the audio we had that was great, speculating what was going to happen.
Now, so, there are multiple things that I was trying to comb through, because this is very fresh. It looks like they did an injury angle with Finn. It doesn't look like he was legit hurt, but there's still – he was able to take a bow and he was able to walk out on his own will, but they did a whole twisted ankle. He took the muscle buster. The crowd popped huge for Joe. They are very happy for Joe, and I think it just speaks to Samoa Joe and what you said last night, Mo, on Samoa Joe being a guy they need to cash in on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to. He's – like I say, it's not just he's got a, you know what he has is he feels menacing, and Brock Lesnar feels menacing, and Bray Wyatt could have felt menacing.
Joe is what Kevin Owens should be.
Yeah, yeah, and but he's menacing. Is that his charisma is that he feels like if this is a guy you really wouldn't want to fight.
Yeah.
You know, like he feels legit in a world, in a fake world of wrestling.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Now, my question to you is, was this a, why do you think this happened at a house show and not Dallas?
I'm going to go first, Mo, if that's okay.
Yeah, please. Because I got to sneeze, so I'll just mute this.
We now know that. Please,
that's for the best.
We had Joe look really strong on NXT this week, tapping out Apollo. And Finn isn't on the tapings for the next, this entire month. So I think this is all a plan to lead with what we talked about yesterday. To get Finn off, get him ready, and debut him at Payback. I'm convinced now.
Mo?
Is it a plan to, basically what you're saying is they wanted to get the belt off him, but they wanted to keep him really strong first. So he'll beat Joe, and then when he loses to Joe, it's because of the injury, not because Joe is better. And really, that's they're keeping him really strong. Is that your theory?
I just think that was just I would say that I would have rather him just lost at the special. I thought it would have meant more if he lost at the NXT special because that match was so good. And I thought it would have meant more for him to do it there and with the WrestleMania crowd. But I don't know about making people look strong or whatever. I just think the plan was we need to get the belt off because it's time for him to go into the main roster. That's mainly
so
what I'm saying.
I thought that's what you were saying. So I just wanted to clarify that. Yeah. Here's how I see it. And again, you know, speculate as much as anybody, right? When Robert, I'll give you an example here. When Robert Kirkman writes The Walking Dead, do you think he sits there and he writes it? And then he lies down and I go, I got a whole new idea. I'm going to toss that whole thing out.
I'm going to do the same thing over and over again. That's what he says.
Yeah, well, okay, shut up.
I'm not a fan of the show.
I'm not talking about the show. I'm talking about the book, but it doesn't matter.
Sure.
The point is when he sits there and he writes it, do you think he's sitting right before it goes to press and it's about to be printed, do you think he's like, oh, no, we're going to toss this out, we're going to change these pages, and they're changing it right to the last second, or do you think that he, like every other writer and every writer I've ever interviewed and talked to, sits there and goes, here's the storyline, I'm going to plot it out, and I have it, and I feel it, and it's instinctual, and I know it's the right thing, and I'm going to tell the best story I can with the story I have, and I might twist one or two little things and tweak them, but I'm not going to. But I believe in the storyline, and I'm going with it. Because to me, what this speaks of is, shit, we still haven't decided what we're going to do with the Bullet Club, and so we're deciding today. And they could put the belt back on Finn tomorrow night. It wouldn't surprise me. Like that's to me what this speaks of is the company that once again doesn't have its booking figured out. So they're reacting because they got no plan.
I also like that they do stuff like this sometimes too. Again, with storyline and everything, I'm not going to put that into it, but I like it that it means when you go to a house show, anything can happen. I like when they twist it up and put titles in the line. I'd like to see more of this because it means like you could go to a live show and you're a possibility to see a title change.
Addy, my We Talk Wrestling co-host Addy, he became a fan because the very first ever live show he went to, Tito Santana lost the Intercontinental title to Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Wow.
And that's it. So he's like, you know, like he was like he was 3 or 4 years old. Like he was just a kid. He was a baby. Right? but he's there and he's like, I got to go back. I want to see another one because he thinks now every single time you go, you're going to see a title change. Mm-hmm. But that hooked him. Every now and then, it is cool to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool for that small little crowd there that is an NXT crowd that's just like just happy to be there and seeing Shinsuke, seeing the Drifter, seeing
Shut up, Joel.
Do you know how big the house was? Do you have an idea of the size of the crowd?
I'm thinking it was in the maybe 1,000.
By the way, small fact. So that's the same building that Joe beat Kurt Angle in 2008 for the TNA title, and also the same building that Sean lost to Smile. Fun facts.
That was the old. That was the first Monday Night Raw building, wasn't it?
I believe so. Yeah.
Wow.
They should have had a fairly for NXT then a pretty decent sized crowd.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was some sort of cameras, house show cameras rolling.
Yeah, they've got video footage galore everywhere right now.
Good.
But I look at this as I do agree with Mo. I think this was kind of on the fly. Oh crap, we need to do this. I still think it's a cool moment. I think they should have had it. Joe going over in Dallas.
Yes, I think we can all agree on that because it was right, especially with the way the blood and everything was going. It made the most sense in that match. The intensity that Joe had in that match, it made the most sense for him to win the title then.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I go to the story of it makes the house shows feel a little bit more special.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd at the end of the night, the crowd was chanting, "Thank you, Finn. Thank you, Balor." I think they obviously knew
that it was time. Yeah.
We've been having this debate on when Finn will go up to the main roster. I think we have our answer, and it's sooner rather than later. So now, with Finn being up and potentially coming up to the main roster, because there's no guarantees. WWE is known to change their mind.
He, like Mo said, he could be doing the rematch. He could get the title back tomorrow. He could do the next NXT is in what, June?
The next taping, yeah.
So I'm thinking that title is one of two things. It's either Joe and Finn rematch or Joe and Nakamura.
I'd say Joe and Nakamura is a good chance, but again, it's two more guys that need to be in the main roster today, not tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, I agree. Do we know the deal on Hideo, by the way?
Last I heard, he was still all messed up.
Ugh,
it's unbelievable.
Because that's the guy we talked about yesterday. Who are some guys in NXT that could rise up? I think he is the next guy.
Yeah, if it's a real shame. I mean, I know he's frustrated. There's even been some talk that he would consider going back to Japan because. He might not get clearance from the WWE, but he'd probably get clearance over there because they're more relaxed on this type of thing. But yeah, his shoulder's really, it's really messed up. And it's a shame because it's been a long time now. But just to go back to it, I mean, yeah, we were talking about it yesterday, how I didn't see Finn coming up and being heel because I believe that they think that his merchandise has too much potential in the main roster.
Yes, yeah.
Which means to me, though, that means AJ has to turn heel. I don't think you can have all of them as a babyface group, and I think you're obviously going to see some.
Anderson and Gallo are heels. I don't think they can be faces.
Well,
my opinion. I think they're very heelish right now.
They should be, except for the fact that the only team out there, there's only two teams out there that I think are popular enough that they would get booed against, and that's the New Day and Enzo and Cass.
Yeah.
Everybody else, if they face the Usos,
unless Chad and Gable and Jordan came up. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
For a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this the next biggest thing is where's this Bullet Club going? Like you said, who's turning heel? Who's turning face? Where is this all going to lead to? Is Finn? Because I've heard those rumors that they want to take Finn and have him be the leader of the Bullet Club,
screw
AJ and feud with Roman, right?
Mo, do you not think there's a little bit of an NWO factor in this, though, where they're bad guys, but they're so bad that they're cool? Like NWO sold the merchandise because they were the awesome bad guys. Maybe that's what the Bullet Club is?
Well, that's even what the Bullet Club is. Even in Japan, that's what the Bullet Club is. That's what
I'm saying.
Los Incosmores, or however you pronounce it there, Mexico and Naito's group, that's what they're doing right now. Hell, that's what the Shield was.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's that cool factor. And I think Finn has to be, because Finn was one of the originators for the Bullet Club. It just seems right.
All the social media teasing.
Yeah, all the social media teasing, his friends showing up. I would not be shocked if it's a four-man group. To be completely honest,
I don't think it'll be four man. I think it's him. In my personal opinion, what I think will happen, and I've talked to Joel about this, I think Finn is going to come out. I think Finn is going to screw over AJ. I think AJ is going to feud with the Bullet Club. And I think the match at Extreme Rules will be something with the Bullet Club. And I think Roman is facing Cena at Extreme Rules.
No, the Cena match isn't happening until SummerSlam.
They're going to tease something, or maybe Randy comes back. I think it's another competitor for him. I don't think he's facing anyone. Or maybe it's a six man against, and maybe AJ's teaming with Roman and somebody else.
I think we're gonna see Finn versus Roman.
I don't think that happens right away. That's something you gotta save.
I don't think that happens for a long time.
Yeah, you save that. You don't put that at Extreme Rules.
But it's the WWE we're talking about.
No, I get that, but I think even them, we've even heard Vince sees so much damn money in Vin.
Yeah, and that's why you want to tie a little rocket to his back and see how high he goes. I think he can go very high.
But that's the other thing is that I don't think that there. I think the idea of he's a good heel. But he's got to be booked against the right guys where he looks like a good heel as well. And yeah. a guy like Finn, when he gets in the ring with a guy like Roman, and Roman is the tweener and he's essentially the heel.
Exactly.
And he's 5'9", 180 pounds against this massive guy. It goes against the natural instincts of the underdog, and it's going to turn the crowd.
Yeah. And that makes AJ a perfect babyface, right, Mo?
Yeah, against AJ is one or the other. It's a heel, and one is the babyface is fine. That's a few. You could do that for it was Christopher Daniels in TNA and AJ. They must have wrestled each other over the years 800 times. And you know what? I would have paid for the 801st because I could never get sick of it. I get the feeling I'll be the same way with Finn and AJ.
I mean, and then there's the rumors that maybe AJ gets the shit beat out of him. Maybe they have AJ go away for maybe a month or so. I don't know. I doubt it. But there's always the Shield and the Bullet Club rumors as
Nobody goes away. Nobody sells a beating in the WWE. You can get blown up in a limousine. You'll be back the next week.
This is true. But what I'm trying to say is maybe this leads to something with the Shield. Maybe they try to fit an AJ with Dean and Roman, and eventually we get the inevitable return of Seth somehow into that, and then you get the Shield versus the Bullet Club, which is everybody wants. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's an option I'm throwing out to you guys.
What version of the Bullet Club? Is it going to be 4-on-3? Is it going to be...
No, I would say Finn and Anderson and Gallows versus the Shield.
See, the thing is, Finn was the first leader of the Bullet Club, but the Bullet Club was... It was a upper mid-card act until AJ was the leader of the Bullet Club. When people think of the Bullet Club, they don't think of Finn. They think of AJ as the leader. He's the guy who gave it the steam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think they don't want to turn AJ, though. I think they see AJ as that number one babyface possible.
I've heard turns for AJ. That's one
really?
Of
them. Really? Okay.
But then again, we also
one have of them has to turn. One of them, I don't think you can have all four of them.
I think Finn's a better heel than AJ. AJ's been an okay heel to me. He's better in Japan, for sure. TNA was a very bad heel.
He was a bad heel in TNA, and the reason was, for the same reason I talk about my issues with Shawn Michaels as a heel, was you're still doing all your babyface moves when you're in the ring wrestling the match. Like he didn't understand the psychology of how to turn heel properly. He started to get it kind of late in his TNA run, and he did get it in Japan.
Yeah.
But that was a definite issue. Every other time he was a heel, that was an issue.
Like the phenomenal forearm is a babyface move. And like the springboards and all that stuff are babyface moves. So I don't know. I think Finn betrays the heel side much better than AJ does.
I agree with you. But I don't know. When he was a heel, he was a very good heel.
Mm-hmm.
But he was largely working still against light heavyweights. Mm-hmm. And he did enter the G1 Climax tournament and face a few bigger guys. But even... You look at AJ, and you look at how big AJ looked like everybody else over there, and then you look at him in the WWE, and you realize that their heavyweights aren't the same as these heavyweights.
No.
I think that's a problem for Finn.
Can I just say how cool it is, though, that it's we're talking about Prince Devitt versus AJ Styles in the WWE as a feud with the Bullet Club? That's something that I don't think a year or so ago we could have even fathomed. That's a pretty cool thing that we're talking about right now. Have a smart little mark out moment for there for a second.
Yeah, absolutely.
My next question for you guys, what are the chances of Roman turning heel? Because we have noticed that they no longer mute the crowd or turn down the one side of the...
Apparently they did on Monday.
Did they?
On SmackDown they do a little too.
Yeah, they did both, Joel. What Culture and a few other sites have reported it. Yeah.
So I think bigger.
It's just that he has such nuclear heat, you can still hear it.
Yeah.
You think they're not turning it down. But
because the crowd popped when Gallows and Anderson attacked him.
Yeah. I don't know if I like the turn with Roman, though. It's kind of like the classic Vince Russo. It's like, haha, you thought that was coming, but we gave you that one.
This is where I'm really, this is, like I say, I mean, you could have him turn and you could have Anderson and Gallows with him. You can go like a million different directions. What I'm worried about with this whole thing is, and this is where I just don't trust them, right? Is I'm worried you're going to get, first you'll get Finn turning, and AJ will seem like the babyface. Then, babyface AJ will also turn on them just to make it that extra swerve, that Rusoific one extra swerve that makes no sense.
Like they did with the NWO in both companies.
Well, you saw this all the time when Russo was there and the corporation and people would get beat down and then join it the next week. You saw it and everybody thought of it. And I'm worried that they will just try and do too many swerves and overthink it when storytelling should be, it's just break it down into three acts. Tell a story in three acts. You set up your story, have the main portion of your story, give us a twist at the end to further the action along, keep the storyline going, and give you a climax. Tell us, don't try and reinvent the wheel here.
Yeah, I just don't want to see the bullet. I think we can all agree. We just don't want to see that Bullet Club bloated like NWO got to, right? We don't want to see like Heath Slater part of the Bullet Club. I mean, Victor's a free agent. Apparently, Victor joined the Social Outcasts, so they're back to normal.
That's great. That's great.
A Calgarian.
Yeah.
Go, Victor!
Yeah.
That's the most podcast time he's ever going to get. Moving on.
Moving on.
I think that's...
I think this is something we're going to be talking about. I think what they do in Raw is such a big deal, too. What they do in that Usos tag match... That's going to tell a lot, right? Like, does Roman come down and confront the Bullet Club? Does AJ come down? Is that the main event, the Bullet Club versus Usos? Because I would agree that it should be the main event, Usos versus Bullet Club.
It is a big deal.
If you got Reigns and the Usos versus the Bullet Club with AJ as the leader, I think people would be interested in that.
Well, it's confirmed on Raw, though. It's Usos versus Anderson and Gallows. That's confirmed. For Raw.
Yeah, I'm saying though, I'm talking about down the road as a feud.
Oh, for sure.
Thing, I think people would be into that, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe that's something they do at Extreme Rules. You don't have to have the title defended every pay per view.
No, you don't. Absolutely don't.
Because again,
go ahead. The thing about Reigns is he's not gonna be a full babyface. He's not gonna be a John Cena white bread babyface. He's also not going heel. So. How long? I mean, right now, I don't think there's anybody you put in the ring against him that he gets cheered over. I mean, in the whole roster. So, you're not going
to Sheamus?
No, last time he faced Sheamus, people were cheering Sheamus over him. I know. think about that. I can't wait to see Sheamus in the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah, he's going to get a little bit of a push during them. We all know it.
That's great. I love that cast. But what was I going to say?
Maybe you get Stephen Amell back in a tag match. Casey Jones and Rocksteady versus Goldust and somebody. And Stardust and somebody.
Oh, that Stardust game. Man, have they ever... I could have booked Cody into being a main event guy.
Oh, we all could have. Stardust because Dusty liked it, though. That's why.
I know, but that doesn't mean you still have to be doing it. That means you should have wrapped up the storyline with the Mel and then shifted it into a new storyline.
Oh, I agree.
He was Stardust and he was honoring his dad and he still lost that match against an actor. And now he doesn't know who he is, and he has to find his real self as Cody. Like, the storyline was so easy, and the crowd would have gotten into it. And,
fair.
Jesus, like, idiots. Okay, what was I going to say? I just don't think you're going to see Reigns go against babyface after babyface after babyface like you guys are laying out. Like, you know, he's going against AJ, and then you talk about Orton, you talk about Cena, you talk about Rollins down the road, you know. These guys are all going to be baby faces, I'm pretty sure. So, but I don't think he's going to go full heel, so I don't think he's going to...
Well, that's the thing, too. There's no really good heel on the roster. Like, who's the best heel on the roster? Is it Hunter?
The best heel on the roster is Kevin Owens. because right. people like him, but they still he still get manages to get them to boo him.
But he's facing Sami Zayn for a long time.
It's not real heel heat. Mm-hmm. It's not real heel heat. No.
But he's going to face Sami Zayn for a long time, so he's tied up.
Oh yeah, I hope that's going to be a long time. I'd be really curious as to whether or not they'll let them steal the show.
I mean, I would be happy if they let Rusev or Del Rio go and let him face them face Roman. I'm cool with that down the road.
That Rusev, talk about a guy they blew it with.
Oh yeah,
when he lost to John Cena, they should have instead of turning around and putting him in a mid card act against Ziggler, you should have turned around and had him face Orton immediately and go over on him, because all of a sudden he's back in that main event level.
Right,
and instead he just ruined it. But it's no foresight again. This is why there's too many instances like this in the past where
You look at the heels and I think. This bullet, you said him, I was like, you don't trust him, but this Bullet Club thing means so much because we need that number one hated heel. And it could be Roman, who knows, but we need more because you turned the Wyatts were heels, and you decided to turn them face as well. So I just, they're a very big lack of heels. Like, Barry Corbin's a heel, like it may be number five, four heel.
Okay, but again, this is where it's like, okay, you need somebody who's going to be the leader. Mm-hmm. Of the Bullet Club or whatever they're called, okay? And we're seeing reasons.
Renee Young seemed to think on the TP podcast they're going to be called the Bullet Club.
Well, Renee Young can think whatever she wants. They're not going to be called the Bullet Club. they'll be called something though. I mean, Bulletproof. Like you guys have heard that name.
Yeah,
I can see that. But whatever. The point being though that. We see reason why Finn isn't going to be the top heel and shouldn't be the heel there with that group, and we've seen reasons why AJ shouldn't. And the guy who is the guy who has the most potential to be the top heel in the company and would work in that group as the heel leader, and it would be a twist, but it would make sense storytelling wise given the history of Finn and AJ with him, is Samoa Joe.
I like it.
You could still do that. You could still do that based on this.
I mean, and that would be surprise people because people think, oh, he's got the belt. He's not going to come up, and then boom.
Yeah, it's like what happens when Finn comes up and then the Bullet Club starts interfering in his matches, and then they're interfering in AJ's matches. And everybody's wondering, well, they must all be together, and they keep on saying they're not. And then you have AJ and Finn versus those two, but they both don't trust each other because one is who's going to turn on who. And then it turns out the whole thing is a swerve and it's set up by Joe. And the three of them beat those two down. And you could even have Reigns, if you wanted to, be the guy to make the save, though I choose somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Point being, that's a good storyline. You could go with months for that. Book it. What do you guys say? I'm not a fantasy booker. I just outbooked them, though, didn't I?
I say that I think this is going to be something that for the next week and a half we're going to be pondering. It's I would say this is one of the biggest booking decisions the company's had in a long time.
I would say I just gave them the best storyline they're probably going to ever come up with. I love that storyline. Come on.
Well, the last big group they had aside from the Shield was Nexus, and they totally botched it at that SummerSlam.
They totally botched it. But yeah, can you imagine that? Can you imagine if Finn comes up and they're interfering on both different guys, and both guys are saying they're both denying that they're asking for their help? Mm-hmm. And that tag match where Finn thinks he's going to be turned on by, it'll have a little bit of that NWO, that versus WCW bash at the moment of who's going to be the one who's turned on. Who's the
third man?
In this one, it's who's the guy who's going to be turned? Is AJ going to turn on Finn? Is Finn going to turn on AJ? And then it's neither one of them. It's Joe. Fuck. Money. Gentlemen. Print it up.
I don't think there's any better way to go out.
No. Just tell me, Joel, we're keeping my joke from last night? Thank God, because, I mean, I have another one, but you want to hear?
I want to get your thoughts in really quick, though, Joel, because you've kind of just been taking back and taking everything in.
Well, as you tends to when you get the movable force versus the irresistible object.
This is true, brother.
I look at – I like the booking. I like what you have. I don't see it happening because it's – WWE. It's money, but it's likely not going to happen. I think ultimately we are going to see Finn as the main guy. It's going to be Finn and yeah, Gallows and Anderson. AJ will be still babyface. Roman will be the guy. And that'd just be how it is. I think this works into a Finn and AJ feud. Because I can concede that Finn's not going to go for the title right away. But I'm okay with that, because then we get Finn and AJ feuding for a little bit. Ultimately, Finn's going to feud for the title. One way or another, Finn is going to be in the main event by the end of this year. There's no way they're going to hold off for that long.
He's a possible Money in the Bank guy. I think him, Sammy, AJ, Owens are the four to me.
When you say that, you got to keep in mind the landscape is going to change when either Nakamura or Joe comes up. Plus, you have Rollins, Orton, and Cena back. All of those guys.
And Tyson Kidd.
World type. Tyson, you know what? He almost died. I would prefer he never wrestles again. And is a trainer. I would love that. He'd be an excellent trainer. But again, you throw those three in there, and all of a sudden, the idea that Finn's going to be in that main event and challenging for the title, it becomes a little bit more complicated.
That's why I put him as a Money in the Bank guy, Mo. I think him, Sammy, AJ, Joe are all kind of the Money in the Bank guys.
The Money in the Bank is a little played out without any question. But it's still, if you're going to do it, it's still more effective to have a heel with it.
So. Yeah, I think what they've done, I've been saying Sammy since the beginning of the year, and I'm just not going to back up my bet. But I agree with you. The heel makes more sense because the heel tendency works. But just think with Sammy makes, like kind of like Brian, it makes so much sense for Sammy to get it, right?
I think if Finn is in that upper main event level, the better guy to have it is actually Kevin Owens, because then you can elevate. You don't have to have him in the main event level. You can elevate him there at any point.
KO is the perfect guy for it. Yeah. Let's move on to the WWE. And who's booking these shows? Because 2 weeks in a row, pretty damn good Raw. It wasn't a bad. It wasn't as good as the week, but there was nothing really terribly wrong with this Raw. Okay, go ahead, vent. Vent away, man. Joel and I will be Mr. Positivity.
No, it's not even a vent. It's that. Yeah, look, I've gotten to this point on Raw, and this is what this is the. I talked to you guys. What was it? About 2 weeks before WrestleMania, and this is the first time I talked to you afterwards here. Mm-hmm. And I know we talk wrestling. We've lost a lot of momentum because Addy's like just he's really down on the product right now. And as far as recording and talking about it even. And that Shane, the fact that Shane is still on the show every week and The Undertaker is apparently retired and the stipulation is killed, to me this has killed my, I wouldn't say love, but it's killed my...
Not even trust.
It's just I'm watching it now because I like wrestling. And I enjoy a good wrestling match, and they have good wrestlers. But as far as the product, I look at it, I go, well, it's terrible announcing, and the titles don't
get off. I thought Michael Cole's been a lot better lately.
Oh, please. Have you seen any of the JR on Access? Holy shit.
I mean, JR is JR. I can't compare those two. I can't compare Michael Cole to Marl, right?
But are you not going to tell me Invasion Attack that Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino were way better than what we got?
Oh, for sure, they're terrific. I don't think they're better than Mauro. I think Mauro's the best wrestling announcer, period, right now. And I think it's just a matter of time that he gets to Raw. Oh. But for what it is right now, I kind of phase them out, to be completely honest.
But Saxton and JBL are terrible. So I mean, I go.
What are you talking about, Mono?
Bad announcing. Matches, the stipulations that don't really mean anything, storylines that don't make any sense, characters that we're never going to see a good promo again because they're all written. I'm like, there's nothing there. Like, so when you say it's good, I'm like, yeah, they had two good matches this last week. So I watch it for two good matches, and I enjoy those two good matches. And when it's over, I don't care. I don't fantasy book like I sometimes used to because it got so exciting.
That's hilarious because Joel and I think you're at an all-time high for fantasy booking. I think we've been super excited this week. It's the first time I
Marks.
Maybe. But it's the first time I feel in a long time like going into Payback, I care about all the titles. They all have a reason behind them, and you're all excited for those matches, and you're excited for the challenger against the champion. You have a reason
Nothing
to believe they can
changed.
Go for it.
The view never changes, to quote Dusty. The view never changes. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Nothing ever changes. You know, and it won't. And there's going to be good wrestling matches. They have good wrestlers. It's not the greatest roster of all time, but it's a good roster. And they have
pretty damn good.
It's pretty good.
What would you consider the greatest roster?
Pardon me?
What would you consider the greatest roster?
Late 90s, WCW was easily the greatest roster. Like, you can't even compare.
That?
You cannot even
compare. I think as far as star power, but as far as overall in the ring, WWE is about high right now for that.
They had all those Mexican wrestlers and cruiserweights, and they had your Benoits and your
Jerichos.
Yeah, like Booker T in his prime, and you had, you know, like
Piper,
Flair still had something, and like, no, man, it's not even close.
I don't know. I really like this roster right now. I think this is one of the best they've ever had.
No, please.
I mean, you look at just those guys with Sammy, with AJ, with Joe, with the Bullet Club, even guys like the Miz are performing fantastic
right now. No matter who you give me, I can give you somebody just as good on the ROH roster, and I think there's more of them. I think ROH, because ROH and New Japan are almost one roster right now, I think that's much better roster than what WWE has right now. Not if you include NXT.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Including NXT with guys like Aries and Joe. There's no one that's comparable to AJ or Seth even right now. Those are two of the top in the world.
In ROH?
Yeah.
Oh, please. Adam Cole is the best talent that's ever been in ROH.
But would you rather have an Adam Cole than an AJ or Seth Rollins?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Personally, yeah. Yeah. Because he's younger than AJ, and I think he's better than Seth.
Mm. I like Adam Cole. I don't think he's better than Seth Rollins, personally, but that's to each their own.
To each their own. I think he's a better all-around talent. I think he's got. I think as far as charisma, mic skills, and wrestling, I think he's great.
Like to your point, he's pretty entertaining with the Mount Rushmore wrestling with Steen and the Bucks.
Yeah.
So I definitely the one thing that I always like about pro wrestling, and the one thing I always like about, because to me, I'll always have my set of guys that I really like, and I was never a big Flair fan. It just never clicked with me, but Josh loses his mind.
Yeah, I do.
I say that. And I've never been a big Hunter guy, just because I grew up in that 2003-04 era of Hunter running Raw all the time and never always winning.
This brings me up something just real quick. I don't know if they've taped this yet or what. I know Hunter was showing up and doing a house show with, is this tonight or tomorrow or what?
It's in Newcastle. The What Culture guys were covering it.
With Dean Ambrose. Did he go over?
Who went over? I'm sure Hunter did.
Because I could understand it when the title was on the line and it was a roadblock. But if he goes over in a house show over Ambrose at this point, I will lose my shit. I will lose it on.
Well, would you not agree that to a degree, the booking, I'll give you the Shane stuff. I think it's idiotic. And I shouldn't just accept it and say it is what it is, but unfortunately, that's just what I'm doing. I'm just saying it is what it is. I'm trying not too hard to think about that because everything we've got is a lot better. I've just cared more about the show recently. I've cared more about who's feuding. Things like Fatal 4-Ways and Number One Contender matches are happening, and everything just makes more sense why they're leading up to it. And even the stuff with AJ and Roman is the most excited I've been for a world title match in a long time.
I do like... What's good about that is, that Bullet Club.
Exactly.
They put them in there. But here's the thing is, again, I look at it, I think this is good because there's so many ways you can go. You can have them join Reigns. You can have them join Styles. You can have it be Finn. You can have it be Finn who and set up Finn versus AJ. You can do all sorts of stuff, okay?
Yeah.
But my belief is, I think if I was to say to you, write me that storyline with those guys, I bet you'd write me a great one. I don't trust them to do it.
That's totally fair. I'm wondering...
Can I jump in for a second?
For sure. Yeah.
No, it's not your show.
So I'd heard a rumor that they're really up in the air right now what they're doing with the Bullet Club. That right now they don't see the Bullet Club as just a three-man group, and they're calling them the Bullet Club. So I don't know what this means for the New Japan rights.
Wait. They haven't called them that on Raw.
No, they haven't called them that on Raw.
Everywhere else is where it's getting called.
So they've written it. They've never said the word Bullet Club. They have written it. They suggested it in written word. They've never said it. Even tonight in SmackDown, they said Anderson and Gallows.
It's very interesting with the whole. I don't know what they're. I'm going to keep calling them Bullet Club because that's what they are.
For sure.
But I've heard that
they're not... Anderson. They were Anderson and Gallows before they were in the Bullet Club. Yeah. Exactly.
So I've heard rumors that this will lead to ultimately AJ is not the third guy. Reigns isn't the third guy. Finn is the third guy because they basically want to put a little rocket on Finn and shoot him to the stars right away as soon as possible because he's 33. But the Bullet Club's not limited to three people, and there's talks that it could easily be an AJ Styles heel turn because they're low on top heels.
Well, so, especially after turning Bray.
Yeah. So they would turn AJ heel, and they would also have Finn come in and help solidify the Bullet Club. And, I mean, then we can add a few WWE guys to that Bullet Club because...
Randy Orton!
No! No.
Gotta find somewhere for Randy when he comes back.
Evolution. No, it doesn't work.
Legacy's coming back. Three-man tag. Ted DiBiase, Cody Rhodes, and Randy Orton versus the Bullet Club.
Do you remember a little while ago, I was probably a few times here in NXT over the last several months, there's been portions where it looked like Finn was going to turn heel.
Yes.
And Addy would just say to me, oh, he's going to turn heel. And he was heel in New Japan, and he was awesome.
And he preferred to. He did a documentary before he left, and he said he prefers playing heel. Yeah. Everybody does. It's fun to play heel. As Mo can say.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm being a heel on this one.
No, you've been a tweener. You've been a tweener.
I can still cut a promo on you guys if you'd like.
Later on.
But... what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. If you ever went to their website, even like if you go to the NXT merchandise, it's like he is their John Cena. Like there's 70% of the merchandise there is him, and 30% is NXT and everybody else. I mean, if you look at the amount of merchandise that they produce for the guy, I don't know where his sales would be because he is in NXT and not the main roster. But, I mean, if you look at the amount of different items he has more items than Dean Ambrose. He has more items than, like,
Roman. I think he's more than Roman.
Yeah, I believe he does. Like, he has so many items. So that's why I looked at it and went, no, they're never turning this guy. And that's why I bring him up there. That's why I don't see it happen. I think that they think that the merchandise they have on the main roster would be such a huge seller. Hell, I've got a merchandise. I've got a Finn Balor skull cap that, you know, a toque, I guess we'd call it here in Canada. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's cool as hell I wear it. I got it at WrestleMania. Like, his stuff is – I think that – not that they don't have merch for heels, but it's not the same. So
I own three Finn shirts. Yeah. It was so easy to buy. It's just, you see some of the stuff and you're like, I'm just going to take this and walk away with this. I definitely see your point in that he has a lot of values. And I think Vince sees dollar signs when he sees the guy.
Be hard not to. He was one of the main guys showcased off for the video game this year.
Yeah. So I think that
his entrances are money. When he gets to the ring, like I think we saw this on the Dallas show, in the ring when the match starts, a guy like Samoa Joe has more presence and more charisma than him. But his presence and charisma in those entrances is like scary. Like they give you chills.
Yep,
they're very good entrances.
That's two guys I don't understand how are still down there because they're over and like they're over most people on the main roster, Joe and Finn. They're just super polished, ready to go.
Sure. And you know what? But we saw them bring up a whole bunch of guys from NXT.
I know. And Apollo, who did not need to be up there. Apollo should not be up there right now.
Apollo should not be up there right now. They gutted their mid card in NXT. They didn't touch their main eventers.
Yeah.
Because you know what? This as a touring brand, it can be popular, and I still think it's going to take over for SmackDown. And I think that's why you didn't gut it.
Well, here's the thing, Mo. So me and Joel were talking about this off air too. It's, so let's say
you guys got to stop doing that. I don't think you guys should talk off air anymore.
No, I was saying to Joe, like, in the next 3 or 4 months, you've got to think those three guys are coming up after this Japan tour. So let's just say in the next 3 or 4 months, Nakamura, Finn, and Joe are all up. Who is the guy in NXT? Is it Austin Aries? Is it the Drifter?
Oh, hell no.
Is it No Way Jose? Which is his actual name, by the way.
Manny Andrade or whatever.
His actual name is No Way Jose. He looks like a great performer. I enjoyed watching him tonight, but his name is No Way Jose. That is death.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
My guess for who could be the guy is La Sombra. He's competing as his real name on house shows. I think he could be.
And Manny on, what is it? Manny Andrade? Andrade?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah. I can't pronounce it.
And maybe if they get Zack Sabre.
Well, that's it. I mean, yeah, again, who's coming? Who's else is coming in? Who else can they get? I mean, they have guys like Zack Sabre Jr. I mean, on their radar now. Timothy Thatcher, they're trying to get. You know, like,
yep. So, Ricochet.
Yeah.
That's different with what Lucha has, because they're not prying them away from Lucha. If they have anything to say about it.
I've heard rumors that Lucha wants to offer him a very big contract.
Which they're offering him six. They're offering him six figures. You know, that's a lot for. Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, well, he just do a podcast with the performers, and he'll get out of his deal.
You know, I really. That one almost got past me. That was good.
Yeah, don't worry. I almost.
You see these 10 people that you assigned, for instance? Like, I really liked what they got there.
Yeah, me too.
Because it was a lot of diversity. You know, people with different backgrounds and different sizes and different and all sorts of different stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, who's going to be the person? You have to. Samoa Joe should be main eventing WrestleMania next year.
First like, Brock. First Brock.
You know, like. If you don't, you're stupid. You're shooting yourself in the foot. You could use the guy, but I mean NXT, they'll find talent. They will. Yeah. They're being very aggressive right now.
Cream always rises to the top. Yeah.
In the words of Randy,
that's John Laurinaitis.
I know. Well, he's going to be on Total Bellas.
Oh God.
I'm so excited. Yeah. And another thing I'm excited about, and maybe, Mo, you're going to crush me more of this, I love what Miz and Maryse are doing right now. Maryse is one of the best performers in the company right now.
Uh-oh. I'm walking away.
Yeah. I'm walking with you.
Thank you.
She's fine. Yeah. She's no different than Lana. She's fine.
That water line about it being domestic was just terrific.
Okay, that was funny. And up until that line, she was annoying as hell.
Like, I think that's the point, though, is it not?
I don't know. I think they're a good act. They're still a mid-card act to me.
Sure.
I think it's actually a weird thing when I look at this IC title match. It's like Cesaro comes back. He has momentum. He just returned. So he should get the belt. Like, you don't want to screw his momentum. On the other hand, you just put Maryse and Miz together, and this is the first time Miz has any heat for the longest time. So it's probably not the right time for him to lose the belt.
Yeah, but I don't think he will.
It's a weird one to me.
And Zack Ryder just, thanks, guys. I appreciate the moment.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go sit in a corner somewhere. I you know, Maryse and Miz are, like Mo said, they're an enjoyable mid-card act. They can go do their schnick. And it's good. The Miz can get some heat. Maryse will get some heat. Maryse will probably win the women's title.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Too crowded.
But what they have said is there's kind of the total diva side of things, and there's the women's side of things.
Okay. So that's,
which is one of the reasons. And it's like sometimes they'll bleed over if they're a serious competitor, like a Paige or a Natty. But for the most part, most of them are just going to kind of stay in their side and do their thing.
That works for me. Okay,
so this moment where, hey guys, remember I said this right before WrestleMania? They still see Eva as the babyface. And she came out and they presented her as it, and the incredible nuclear heat she got. I think that was an eye opener for them. I think that was where they went. I think that's where they went. We just can't do this anymore.
No.
They don't want that model who can't wrestle. We got to put people who can wrestle in this position. And hey, you know what? I'm of the position, though. I think it's pretty obvious they're not going to do this. The right move is to put the belt on Natty here.
Yeah, well, that's right. You need that moment, right? I mean, you need that moment, Mo. You need the moment where this guy just overcame cancer and is with his family in the ring. Even if they change it the next night in Raw, you just need that moment.
I mean, they're probably going to have a match on this pay-per-view and the following pay-per-view is the word, right?
But would Brett be there, though?
I don't know, but I don't even know what that it's about. To me, it's not about Brett. To me, it's about Natalya's fans like her. She can wrestle. And if you only have those three, you can only have different variations of having those three women and maybe Paige go at it for so long. You need somebody else in there.
Becky? I mean, Bailey?
See, I don't know when Bailey's coming up.
That's another merchandise seller, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, to me, you have Becky. You have – well, that's it, though. You have Becky, Sasha, and Charlie. You know, and he's a fine Divas champion or women's champion. He does a good job there, Charlie does. But you have those three. You're going to burn out those matches.
I consider maybe Emma down the road, by the way.
Pardon me?
Maybe Emma.
Emma, I just don't – I don't see her being – at the same level of those ones, I see
that's her being fair. It's very fair.
Because even in NXT, she was kind of the gatekeeper type chick,
for,
you know?
For sure.
Instead of the champion. So, for sure. Again, you have those three. I think you need a fourth that people will believe and that you can put in that mix against anybody in that mix. So I think you need to make Natty seem legit right now. And I think that's the reason why. Put that belt on her for a month or two. Then transition it off and go to the Sasha feud. But I think people believe in her enough right now, but I get the feeling it's kind of like that, you know, that thing where it's like, oh, you've had a chance too many times and we've seen you fail enough and now we stop believing. Next time you want us to believe it, we just don't. I think she's at that point where if she doesn't get something here, then people won't buy it next time.
Yeah, that's totally reasonable. Joel?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with Mo. I think that I do think this is the time to put the title on Natty. She's been there for how many years now? Since 2011, 2010?
No, way before that.
Yeah, she's been around because she was there before.
She's been there about 10 years, man. She's been about 10 years.
Well, what year was it that Brett came back and we had that head to head because
that was about 2010. But she was there.
She was there for about 2 years. 2 years before that.
Yeah, because she went to FCW at the same time as the Bellas.
She signed in 04.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, with Teddy.
Oh, 04 or 03. Teddy.
Oh, her Teddy and the Cats.
Teddy has his own wrestling school. Did you guys know that?
Oh God.
I wonder what type of.
Move on.
Yeah, that's a whole podcast on itself.
Yeah, that's just, we can't go here. We'll have a 7-hour show.
Yeah. So next up, the tag titles division. Are you guys fans of the match not happening at Payback? I'm thinking it's because the League of Nations and the Wyatt Family match isn't happening. So I guess they're just going to maybe do both that night, or what do you think, Joel? First,
what are you talking about? I'm missing something here.
Okay, so for the tag titles, the number one contender thing is going to be on Payback now. Between the Vaudevillains and Enzo and Cass. And I'm wondering if that's because they moved it to the actual pay-per-view because the Wyatts won't be facing the lads anymore.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I would probably guess because they sent Bray home.
Yeah, Bray's out for a while.
Yeah, something with his calf, his ankle. It's not good.
No.
It's been bothering him since the Undertaker match.
Yep, add another one to the shelf.
Yeah,
it's definitely an interest. I'm okay with it because I mean, I don't see either of these teams beating the New Day.
I see the Vaudevillains beating them.
I've heard Vince is already down on the Vaudevillains. So
really, yeah. I actually thought Aiden English did a decent promo tonight in SmackDown. Better than what I thought he could be. Not like terrific.
Yeah, but what
like,
was that reaction on Monday?
Oh, nothing. Yeah, exactly.
And that's why Vince is down.
Because I don't know if anyone knows them, really.
They did a shitty job.
They're
shitty
the Ascension.
Job.
Again, it's the Ascension coming up and be like, oh, I don't really care. It really seems like, I think you kind of said that earlier, Mo, it's they just got rid of all the mid-card guys. It's like, well, sink or swim time. Let's go.
Yeah.
Except for, like, Apollo, who should still be down there.
he should still be down there. You guys remember when Shelton Benjamin first debuted many years ago, and we had this all about the Benjamins gimmick? Like, yeah. they had brought him in for dark matches with him and Brock when they were the Minnesota Stretching Crew.
Yeah.
And in those dark matches, he might have been even more impressive than Brock, but they still knew Brock was the money. And this guy was a good athlete, and they thought he had some potential, but not main event potential. And they gave him this all about the Benjamins gimmick, and he was just kind of this smiling baby face with no real personality and nothing to stick out. And you made the comparison of Bobby Lashley, and I think there's a few others you could probably come up with. Mm-hmm. But just that guy who's like, he looks like $1 million and he has all the moves, but there's nothing about him that makes you go oh, he's my guy. I'm behind him. He stands out. He's got a personality. He doesn't have Kevin Owens looks completely opposite. But Kevin Owens, you go, that's like you can relate to Kevin Owens, or you can hate Kevin Owens. You can, whatever Kevin Owens does, you feel it. Yeah. Whatever Apollo Crews does, you go, that's a guy who's a pro wrestler who's doing what pro wrestlers do. And it's
Apollo Crews was 2 years away from being 2 years away.
I think he needed more time in NXT. He's a diamond in the rough, and he needs a lot of work, but there's so much potential there.
Also, sorry to interrupt you, Joel, this is bugging me for a long time. Why do they not say he's from Nigeria? Why do they say Stone Mountain, Georgia? Because as soon as you say Stone Mountain, Georgia, you're putting the Jake the Snake Roberts thing on him right away.
I never thought of that.
No,
comparison.
Neither did I.
Well, I just think even not with the Jake stuff, but if you say Nigeria, you have that international feel to him. He's just another American wrestler. But this,
yeah, but then he has to do the accent, and then
that's fair.
He's gonna forget it like Kofi did, and you know.
He doesn't have to necessarily do the accent, but I guess, but in the realm of what they're doing, I see what you're saying.
You would, yeah.
And can I just make the point that the Primo, the Cologne Brothers promo, is very similar to the promos for Kofi before he came in?
Good point.
Just something.
I just want to see if Carlito comes out of this. If Carlito comes out of this somehow, I'll be very happy.
It's possible. I don't know. It feels like it to me, though. You don't know. But boy, those feel like Carlito Caribbean Cruel segments, don't they?
And a little bit of Razor in them, too.
A little bit, yeah. I don't know. I enjoy those. I mean, those guys are,
too,
again,
actually.
Those guys, I know those guys have a lot more personality than they've been allowed to show over the years. So.
I think that's one thing that's hurt the product as a whole, is certain personalities. Like, the one thing that we've talked about, me and Josh, is...
Well, I'll get so mad when we say that. Why am I not involved?
I think the biggest thing... the biggest thing with Roman right now is I think we're seeing more of a real Roman Reigns with his personality
now. He's the guy. He lets you know every single freaking week. He's the guy.
But just the way he kind of delivers it, it feels a little more natural. He feels very arrogant and smuggy now, which is what you want from him. It feels
what we've been begging for, man.
Yeah. So I think you need to start letting guys just be themselves. Some guys, not so much. You need to kind of explain to them they can't say certain things on TV. But other guys, just let them be themselves.
Like Dean Ambrose saying spotted dick on SmackDown.
Baron Corbin. To me, okay. I know you weren't so big on him, Josh, but like, he has a lot more to me than Apollo Crews, because
I've been way more impressed with Baron.
He has way more of a presence, and when he comes out and you say it, I don't feel like he's playing a character.
No,
I feel like he really doesn't give a shit about us.
Nope.
And that's cool. That's fine with me. You know, whether or not he can make a go of it, that's a whole other thing. But at least I don't feel like he's playing a character. I feel like you say the same. It's the same thing. At least this is who the guy is. He's just a guy who doesn't care. He's got a little bit of that Brock in him. He just doesn't care what you think.
And I think you need those big guys too, right? You always need the big guy, the big dominating guy. And I think everything they've done with him works so far. And I mean, we've heard there's a few mysterious guys in the company that are on the way out. Barrett's obviously gone. I think Ziggler's another one of those guys, because it doesn't really seem like he cares anymore.
He was, what was it, 2 years ago, or maybe not quite 2 years ago, that he was considering leaving. His contract was up. They begged him to stay. They were going to give him a push, they said, and they gave him a raise, and then he was in the exact same spot as always.
Him and Swagger,
like, like 2 weeks later, he was back in the same spot. Like, he had a two-week push. Swagger's definitely out the door. I mean,
he should go to UFC.
He's out the, yeah, well, yeah. He, and he, you know... if he's not too old now. That's the thing, right?
That's the thing.
I think he could have been a very good UFC fighter.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? That's a weak – that heavyweight division is weak as hell. Mm-hmm. So he might still be a very –
He may. He has the personality, too. They don't really have that personality.
I think they've really underused him. I think they've really – there's a guy that I think it's like, shit, I could have booked this guy into being a solid upper mid-carder, and they just never got it with him.
Nope.
They're not very good at booking the mid-card.
No. Talk to Alberto Del Rio and Rusev about that.
Oh.
Those guys are – every single time I see them come out with the League of Nations, I cry a little bit.
Yeah, I know. Well.
Alberto Del Patron was, what, number 5 in the PW Insider top wrestlers of last year?
Yeah, well, it's a work magazine, but
– Still, like, he was just killing it last year on the indie scene.
He's again, yeah. Not their inability to understand what they have and make you like, you know, that like we talked about Paul Heyman earlier. It's like his ability to see a guy's weakness and accentuate their positives and hide their weakness. They don't have that. And so they just see somebody and they just see him. And they just slot him into what they think that he is. And that's what they are. And that, you know, never changes. There's not much upward mobility in the WWE. I mean, if you know, you can have the reaction that Ziggler had when he beat Del Rio for the belt the night after WrestleMania a couple of years ago. But if they don't see it at that point, there's the ultimate upward mobility isn't there.
Yeah. What's next on the task, Joel?
Well, I guess it would be the attack on Roman from the Bullet
Club. I think we kind of got into that, though.
Yeah, I think we got a little bit. Not quite the...
Joel, just say what you think about it, and then I'll tell you how you're wrong.
Okay. I think the booking of Anderson and Gallows has been good. I think that having them kind of play this outsider a little bit has been good. Them attacking... I hear a lot of people were upset that they appeared in a little segment with AJ beforehand.
I like that because it teased, it was a foreshadowing of sorts, and it makes you think about the collusion possibility.
Yeah, and then the attack.
Not everybody knows their history. You had to do that.
Yeah,
exactly. Perfect, Mo. Thank you.
You have to teach people who they are, why they're friends, and it was very simple. And you had Mauro Ranallo there, so I'm good. And then having the attack was good, and having Styles kind of walking away and then turning around and seeing this stuff, and look on his face of like either pretending he's shocked or genuinely shocked that they came out and attacked, like his character. And then the segment after where Roman tells him to bring all his friends, and then you see a picture of the whole Bullet Club, and you're like, yeah, sure, bring all your friends. I'm good with that. I'm okay with this. I think that there's a dozen ways that this thing can go right. There's also a dozen ways that WWE can screw this up. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic that this works out.
Yeah. I mean, you did see the night after Raw and every week afterwards with Shane McMahon, right?
Yeah.
I'm not bringing it up. It's a point I can't argue.
Forget about it. You know what almost pissed me off more? I'm almost more pissed off that he hasn't sold. He sold the injuries the next night, and then by the following week, he's dancing and he doesn't sell anything. Just like if this attack from Styles and the Bullet Club there, if it means anything, sell it for a moment. He's just backstage. He's fine. Nothing matters. Like, this is my point where I go, I'm just watching for the wrestling matches because nothing matters. They don't treat it like it matters, so why is it going to matter to me? So I just enjoy a good wrestling match.
That's a fair point. I can't disagree with you in that.
No, you can't disagree with me. I'm right.
All right, well, let's go through. One little bit of news I heard was that New Japan had a line to Brian, and they were kind of talking to him, and now that line's kind of gone quiet.
Good.
And New Japan kind of feels like he's probably not gonna go work for them.
Good. Stop it. Stop it.
I think Breeze kind of got through to Daniel and like, you're not wrestling again.
You need to be on Total Bellas, Brian.
Just have him there. I don't want to ever see him wrestle again, especially with what we know happened to his head.
It's just, no, done, unfinished, and I'm glad to hear that things have...
He could go to the Cowboys, though, because Jerry Jones and CTE. So Zing, got it in again!
It's funny to me every time you say that.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I get it, Ed.
Yeah, no, it's funny every time.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mo? Because I've heard what Josh thinks on Brian and wrestling. What do you think?
Yeah, I know it's the same thing. I don't... Again, we talk about, said this is painful for Dixie. It's painful for Daniel Bryan. There are five stages of loss, and he's in one of those stages right now, and that's denial. You know, it's going to be a process. It's going to take a while, but that doesn't mean he's going to wrestle because, yeah, I do think Bree loves him too much. And at the end of the day, he knows that's worth even more than that love is worth even more than his health and his career. So I think it is over, and that's good.
Yeah.
Because he could be president of the United States because he has that kind of likability and charisma and honesty that people will gravitate towards. His potential reaches far beyond being a wrestler. That's what he sees himself as. When he gets to the point where he stops seeing himself as that and sees he can be more than this, He'll be just fine.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. Next little point, the Undertaker. There was that whole will he won't he the European tour, and he was telling people that was his swan song at WrestleMania. He didn't say retirement. He said that could be it for him. Was that the last time we'll ever see the Undertaker wrestle?
Hopefully not, because that was a shit match to go out on.
And yet it was kind of fitting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was in Dallas. It was in front of 100,000 people.
97.
Okay.
And that's the biggest...
78. But,
yeah, whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the 1
million, dude! On the 800-pound Andre the Giant.
Oh, no.
I love them and their numbers. They're the best.
I think that's a big point for Undertaker, because you will never be able to go out in that size of a crowd in your home state. Though it was what it was, there's like a 50-50 chance that this is it for him. I can see a world where he wrestles next year against Cena because Vince wants that bad and Taker go out on his back. But
and
I think they'd
have a hell of a match.
Yeah.
They'd have a hell of a match. I think I agree with you. I think 50-50 is just about right. I can't picture that being his last match. But and he said it looked like he's going to retire before, but you know, one of the things is WWE at least when they have something like that and it's going to be a guy's last match, they're really good at promoting it and making something out of it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And they didn't get a chance to do that. To me, that feels really odd.
Yeah. And that to me tells me that there was probably enough Vince. Vince feels very confident that he'll be back.
I think so, yeah.
And I've even heard that Vince wants to give him some space, give him some time, and then towards the end of this year, early next year, they'll talk to him about doing something. Because Undertaker has said that it's been reported that the Undertaker feels that he's just going to do what Vince says because they're paying him a very large sum of money to work very, very, very limited dates. So Undertaker's more inclined to say yes. So I could see Vince kind of twisting his arm a little bit for one last go.
I also wouldn't have him face Cena. I'd have him face someone younger, do the job. Finn.
I agree with that. Well, not Finn. Because I think the dynamic wouldn't work. But
I just think the matching entrances.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I agree with you, though. Younger guy is definitely the way to go. But then yeah, I was always the guy who said that he should lose the streak on his last match.
Yeah.
So, you know.
He's 2-0 now, man. New yeah. streak.
New streak. New streak.
What else, Jolie?
I'm pretty much at the end of my rope. There's nothing much more.
I mean, Renee couldn't get in England because they're a green card. They don't let us Canadians go up there, apparently.
They don't like us.
Nope.
That's all I got.
Yeah, that's about it. It's been an interesting week. We got Payback next week.
We do?
Yeah, we do, yeah. Payback is preview will be next week.
Woo! Mo, anything you've got to add? Comments?
No, I think you guys did a great job bringing up the topics, and as usual, even if I don't know anything about the topic, I managed to have an opinion on it.
You did.
It very, very interesting three-man dynamic. So I enjoy these, because each of us have seen different eras of wrestling, and each of us have kind of seen different moments, and different things mean to us. And that's the one thing that's cool when you talk to another wrestling fan, because what's an amazing moment to me might mean something different to you, and it's that whole going back and forth on what performers mean. Like, Mo, which era had the best roster? And I can't... That WCW is a pretty good argument.
It's a pretty great roster, yep.
You guys got to keep in mind, it was like 200 people. When I say it was like they had like it was unbelievable. Like they had people from Japan and like they have a working relationship with All Japan at the time, and they had the working relationship with CMLL or was it AAA that they had?
I believe it was maybe.
Yeah,
maybe it was both. I don't know. They had the it was.
Conan well, WWE like ended up. Right? I think WWE was AAA. Actually, I do think that that's
right
when they
because
broke.
They had Mil Máscaras come in and threw him out of the Royal Rumble in 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's right. But they had like this. So they had this incredible roster. Like, and again, when I say I think ROH's roster, like I look at ROH's roster and I go, to me, like it's comparable to WWE's roster. Not if you include NXT, like I say, but if you include the main roster, like these are the type of things. You're right. There's no right answer. You know, I say Adam Cole for me is better. I don't think Adam Cole is as good a wrestler, but I think he's a better all around performer than a Seth Rollins. I think Seth Rollins is a better, but you know, so that's the fun thing is nobody's ever right about something. We only learn if we listen to other people's opinions and you discuss it and hopefully you don't get to eat it. And you can take it and learn from it and have some fun. And that's what I did tonight. And I really appreciate you guys having me on. I didn't even cut a promo on you guys this time. I had jokes and insults for you. I was going to tell them as Enzo Amore because I do a damn good Enzo impression. But
we'll save it for next time.
Save it for another time.
Maybe we'll bring you on for a payback preview.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And can I go out with a joke again, though?
Yep. Of course.
You guys, you want me to go now, or?
Yeah, hit it, and then I'll end it with my outro.
Oh, your outro? Well, I'll do it with the joke here. So there's this kid, and he's in the forest. He's walking past. He walks past this cabin, this old man sitting at this cabin, you know, and he sees this kid walking by. He's got a bag, says our hardware company on the side of it, and he yells out to the kid. He goes, hey, kid, what do you got in the bag? Kid goes, oh, I'm going duck hunting. I got duct tape. The old man says, here, what? You can't catch ducks with duct tape. And kid just shrugs his shoulders and he goes off. And a couple hours later, he comes walking by. He's got a couple ducks underneath each arm. So the old man thinks to himself, well, goddamn, son, that's amazing. I guess because it's Steve Austin is an old man in this. Goddamn, son, that's amazing.
A little Terry Funk in there, too.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. So anyway. So he goes off a couple of days later, he sees the kid walking by, and he looks at him again, and he goes, hey, kid, what are you doing this time? The kid looks at him and says, well, you know, I had a lot of fun duck hunting, so I got some more duct tape, I'm going to go catch some more. He goes, oh, goddamn, kid, that was just crazy. You're never actually going to catch more ducks, that was a fluke. The kid shrugs his shoulder, goes off, comes back a few hours later, he's got 5 ducks now he's walking by, 5 ducks. Old man thinks, oh, goddamn, I've got to see what's going on here, you know. So the kid comes by again a few days later. Old man yells out to him, hey, kid, you're going duck hunting? Kid says, yep, I got my duct tape. I'm going duck hunting. Old man says, well, hold on a second there. I'm going to come with you this time. Kid says, yeah, that's fine. No problem. So old man says, I'm just going to grab some stuff here. Let me just bring some things myself. And the kid says, hey, you know, you don't have to bring anything. I got me enough duct tape for everybody. Old man goes, oh, that's fine. You bring the duct tape. But if this thing you're doing works, then I'm going to bring me some pussy willows.
Until next time, enjoy the day, people.
Top that.